Ben House.
December 2010 F1.
You just want to talk to me about the at Bonneville.
I can't lift the rest of that.
About 40 pages? Nice. That's a record.
There's one tree.
Last F bomb of the year here.
Send it all out.
Yes, we have.
Did you want to
send it all out?
Okay, I'll just approve the change forms.
We do have one coordination form to add.
We trust you, Tim.
Ice Harbor ladder outage.
Ice ladder outage. Gary, you got anything to add?
Only that I'd like to talk about what happened at Bonneville.
Yeah, it's on there.
I figured it might be.
Put Ben right in the middle of the table there. And throw fudge at him.
Nah, I want something a little harder. That fudge isn't quite hard enough.
Tom, you got anything to add?
I think Jeff Fryer and them are going to be here.
Okay. So there's an AFF task group meeting after this.
Yes, I plan to be here for that.
You will be there.
Oh, hell no. You don't want me here, really.
Do you have anything for research to add? Sorry, the update to add?
No, but there's a couple of heads up on things.
All right, well, let's get going. This is the last F-bomb of the calendar year. Another year under our belts. Yeehaw.
Another year of success. Oh, wait a minute.
Thanks for everybody's attendance and participation. I think we've always, it's challenging, but we do get a lot accomplished here. So appreciate everybody.
Oh, I do have
making
one.
A point of coming here and participating.
It's the food. Not you, sorry.
Whatever it takes to get you here.
Yeah, we know.
One item to bring up was turbine operations at Bonneville.
Turbine ops.
Powerhouse 1?
Powerhouse 2, descaling.
P2, descaling.
Well, he'll talk.
All right. 15.
I'm trying to make this process smoother.
And for the benefit of those on the phone, we'll go around the room. Bernard Cloud with the Corps.
Ed Meyer, National Marine Fisheries Service.
Tom Lords, Grumpy Old Man.
Jerry Fredericks, NOAA Fisheries.
David Wells, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Dave Bennett, the Fed.
He's crotchety.
I'm a little grumpy.
Crotchety old man. Grumpy old man.
I'm only grumpy at my crotchety yet.
Dead Bows Corps.
Greg Moody Corps. Bob Cordy Corps.
John Bailey Corps.
Tim Dykstra, Walla Walla.
Scott Fett, BPA.
Tammy Mackey, Assistant.
And on the phone we got Miro and Bob Johnson. Who else?
Just going down.
Ryan? I didn't get Ryan.
Ryan Lowry?
Lowry. Anybody else on the phone besides those three?
Yeah, Randy's not.
Yeah, Steve Richards.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Bill. Hey.
We're thinking just take out the whole box.
All right, so, last meeting's minutes. Any comments? Ding, 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 ding. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Approved. That's how it goes. Number 2, lower monumental turbine survival test. Tim Dykstra.
Yeah, so
get right into it, man.
Hopping in. Lock and load. Bob Johnson, Ryan are on the phone. They have to get going at this morning, and so we put this first on the agenda so that we could have their participation. And so, basically. Bob, I think, was going to take the lead on presenting a proposal for a turbine survival study at LOMO. Unfortunately, Bill Hevlin is not here, but Gary Frederick says he will be speaking for Bill today, so we're all set.
Grumpier right now.
Join me in the Grumpier Club.
Ooh, you got up one
of
that's
next one.
What? It won't help.
So, anyway, we're going to launch into discuss a potential study for this year.
Not only no, but hell no.
But, Bob, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, I was just wondering, did everyone get those handouts?
Mm-hmm.
I did.
I'm reading it right now.
Okay, so I got 4 bullets on there for kind of the reason why we might want to do a turbine survival test. And this all kind of stemmed out of Bill's concern for the number of fish that were going through the JBS originally, and he wanted to change the spill pattern during the early part of the season prior to transport to a uniform spill to get more fish over the spill bay. So I suggested that another way to get fish away from the JBS would be just to not put the screens in until transport started. So out of that, we kind of evolved to a study, taking advantage of that window of opportunity. And those bullets kind of outline the reasons for that. In 2009, we got exceptionally high survival for turbid passed fish, essentially 100% of the fish. The sample size for that was only about 45 fish total, including yearlings and steelhead. Weighted average would be about 99.5% survival.
Hey, Bob, can you clarify, because I think folks remember from the last Fitterwig that the number that was given at Fitterwig
was smaller.
Was smaller than 45. Can you clarify that?
I think Gordy or somebody mentioned 12 fish, and that was the number of steelhead only.
Yeah, there were 33 or whatever Chinook and that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's still a pretty small number. So I think it would be worthwhile to see if that kind of survival is real. So that was the first bullet. The second thing is that past studies involving tagged fish, we now know from extensive laboratory study, and if any of you or all of you were at AFEP, you saw the presentations on the barotrauma work. We're pretty sure that using tagged fish through turbines creates a bias in those survival numbers. So it would be nice to get survival numbers that weren't as biased, I guess. It'll be hard to do this year because we're kind of limited to radio tracking again. Those tags have gotten a lot smaller, so the only way to reduce the burden on the fish is to increase the size of the fish that you actually tag. So that would be part of a study. And then the third bullet is moving toward a design for a juvenile bypass. If it turns out that turbine survival is an adequate route, or turbines are an adequate route in the early part of the season when transport isn't happening, maybe we don't need a bypass, which could save literally millions of dollars.
So, Bob, what you're saying there is that you would eliminate bypass to the river at this dam.
No, just use the existing bypass.
Why would you do that?
Under the conditions that bypass has been used in the past, when you've got a lot of water coming through the system, you're running your turbines full out, you actually get pretty good egress conditions. It's only when you have low water conditions that you get that big eddy.
It's just the bypass to the river part.
Yeah, the bypass to the river part we would not use. But it's early in the season, you don't have those kind of conditions you just described.
Still have to have a bypass.
I mean, you have to be...
Make yourself all the screens.
We have to be up front with what we're talking about.
We're not bypassing during transport.
Right.
Correct.
So the bypass to the river basically would be eliminated. You wouldn't need a bypass for that time at all.
Just the transport.
Wouldn't need a bypass. It would just be in situations where you can get a barge in.
It'd be emergency. Emergency only.
Yeah. In 2008, the barges weren't able to operate, and we passed a lot of fish through the bypass, but the conditions were such
well,
that...
Well, then we'd have to have the discussion about whether or not you need to improve the bypass, if that would be the case.
Yeah, exactly. And then the fourth bullet has to do with juvenile lamprey passage, and I believe that the region feels that it's probably best not to put them through the JBS. So putting them through the turbine might be a better route for juvenile lamprey.
Something we don't know a damn thing about.
The only downside of that is, one, our lamprey passage to the bypass, I went back about 10 years, is stinking low, because with the short screens, we get so few lamprey there. And also, I still don't know, I I think it's better to go through turbines, but I have no way of knowing.
Yeah. We don't know.
I mean, it's a total gamble.
Your point is that that point's probably not a point.
Did I say that? Really?
What you don't know for sure about lamprey is just that we don't know what their reaction is to a pressure cycle similar to going through a...
Yeah, we don't know. So, I mean, if they're already going through the turbines and they're not guided anyway, then it's a non-point. So it's really the first three that are the issues here.
Mm-hmm. Did you happen to go back and look at some of the freeze brand testing we did so there wouldn't be a tag burden on those fish? Because we did some freeze brand.
You are old.
I am. That's why I'm crotchety.
No, you're grumpy.
No, I'm grumpy. That's right. Crotchety's to my left. Sorry.
Your mouth's full of magic.
I know.
How can you be grumpy?
That's why I'm only grumpy now. So did you go back and look at some of the freeze brand testing that we did? Because that would obviously take away the tag burden issue.
This was on juvenile fish?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that.
I was just taking a look at that, because that's where some original turbine testing was. That was a concern of survival, why I think kind of helped move the bypass concept along. Now, there's going to be problems with that, because recapture rates were not spectacular, but... Yeah. Well, as opposed to 12 steelhead...
I agree.
I mean,
I assume why they're proposing a test.
Well,
they saw some
be careful because you have to also look at the starting size. And, you know, I mean, that 12 isn't too bad. That's not great, but 45 is actually pretty good.
Well, 45 so, total. 33 right. Chinook 12 steelhead.
30 fish is a good sample. It's not a bad sample.
It's a good indication that you
might. You do work for NOAA, don't you?
Well, we could talk about statistics if you would like.
We could.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Bob, then you want to get in, now that you've laid out kind of some of your thoughts behind what, and I guess one thing from my perspective on this is really this is, we're looking at potentially moving the outfall for, you know, $6 million. And before we do that, it seems to make sense to understand, you know, we have 1 year of data, with granted it's limited, saying turbine survival for fish is 100%. So it seems like we should at least explore
101,
that.
Actually.
Yeah.
102.
So
it seems we should. Fish. Cool.
Well done.
Yeah, it's
recovery right there.
We're done. Check. It seems like we should at least explore that before we just go down the path of, well, okay, we've got to outfall RPA, we got to follow. It seems like we should at least have a better understanding of what did we just learn from that study? So that's some of the rationale for...
This seems to have morphed a bit from the Walla Walla discussion in that now it's become a turbine survival study to look at general turbine survival versus a study to look at some of the causative factors of turbine mortality. Which I thought, Bob, that's kind of what we were going to go down the road of, is trying to understand pressure. We had an opportunity here to look at turbine passage without other factors. I mean, I know there's going to be spill passage, but at least you don't have the bypass side of it to worry about. So I thought that was really what you were going to try to do, and I was looking forward to seeing a study design that would evaluate pressure effects.
Well, that would require capturing the fish.
Well, you're going to have to tag fish anyway. No, I'm looking for you guys to come up with this ingenious design that will evaluate tag size in these fish. Small tag versus large tag, I don't know how you'd recover them, but that's... You're talking about using large fish versus small fish, keeping the tag the same size. That's one way to get it.
A
participant has joined the conference.
I think if we go into that realm, Gary, we're probably looking at a full-out study, full-scale study.
I think you are anyway. If you're looking at turbine survival, if you want to cross that T, then that's a full study. And I wonder why then you wouldn't just combine that with a real survival study and do another year at Low Mo.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've got problems with using larger fish that may not be representative. So, I mean, it's like you may get a great answer for large fish,
you start picking up blade strike issues and things like that too with larger steelhead. That's the thing I was worried about. If you're just going to use the size of the fish as your variable, you'll probably pick up other factors that will affect predation and would swamp out any effect you have of pressure.
How were the fish going to be put in the turbine?
They were going to be released in the forebay, and you shut off spill to maximize your turbine passage.
Okay.
That's at least what they suggested.
Really?
Did you read bullet number two down below? What we propose to do?
No, I have not. Maybe we should go through that.
You might want to. That's what they're planning to do.
Bob?
Let's finish this up.
Let's walk through what you were proposing on a study.
Yeah, well, Eric and Gordy were at the Fitterwick meeting when we first started discussing this. So after the meeting, I asked them to give that some thought, and they came up with what's bulleted in the next section on that handout, and that is to release a limited number of fish, about 1,000 radio tagged steelhead, and that would be done in late April, so that we could get as close to, you know, downstream predator populations as we can. Remove the screens from designated turbines, only the turbines that would be actually in use. During a short period of time, 3 to 5 days, and allow those 1,000 fish to go through that turbine route without any spill. So it would be turbine-only passage.
So this is Paul Hooker over at the division. Has this gone through the AFEP process?
This is the AFEP process that it's being going through.
No, this is FPOM. Was it?
That was my sarcasm, if you may have not noticed.
That was sarcasm, Paul. SRWG is really what you're talking about.
Yeah.
No.
Let me put on my SRWG hat.
Yeah.
So have you guys run this by folks at Division before going out with this? Shutting off spill, running all fish through turbines, pulling screens, all that sort of stuff?
Well, we haven't really gone through this yet. We're just discussing possibilities. This arose out of another approach to minimizing the number of fish that go through the JBS by altering the spill pattern to the uniform pattern prior to transport.
I don't think we're going to talk about that, Paul.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting make a decision in this discussion today. I mean, this is more of a information sharing process.
Yeah, and I think part of this, Bill had some discussions with Bob, if I remember correctly, Bill asked that we place this topic on the agenda for discussion at FPOM because it was the only opportunity in the near future to have regional folks in a room to discuss. And so...
Yeah, it's a Corps of Engineers proposal. And it's a proposal that for a different configuration at LOMO and for a different operation at LOMO next April. So, and it's a Corps of Engineers proposal. And I guess now there is some kind of email. I haven't ever gotten anything on paper about the proposal. But Gary was just telling me that you have something in front of you now.
It came yesterday.
It came yesterday. I haven't had a chance to review it.
Now this isn't really a proposal. So, it's just a concept. All fisheries...
you say you want to do stuff in 11.
Well, there is a SRWG meeting January 6th, and maybe Bob wanted a rehearsal on this. I thought maybe FPOM ultimately, being it's a change from the fish passage plan, will have to be involved in it.
Okay.
And also I suggested to him SRWG on January 6th, if it's going to be a study. So that's all. That's what I've said so far, and I said also... I think that if people are going to bless this, it's going to have an analysis behind it that supports that we're not going to go backwards on juvenile or adult survival.
That's a fair statement, Bill.
Yeah. I'm totally with you on that, Bill.
Yeah. So I believe that everybody just got this last night and haven't seen it. It doesn't really belong here right now. It belongs to go to SCT.
There's more to it than this piece of paper.
There's a lot more that needs to be worked out on this before we can even talk about it at this level.
Bob, you sent out an analysis too, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, and, I didn't have a chance.
We had an 11th-hour discussion. I had a call this morning from Bill Spurgeon at LUMO, and he pointed out to us that the data that we've been taking off of the FPC, Fish Passage Center, is not what they label it as. This may have some bearing on, Gary, on your analysis, if you use that data out of the FPC as well. Apparently, the data from 2006 to 2010 was taken strictly for condition monitoring. Doesn't actually represent the
index.
Fish run, fish passage.
I'll have to look. I don't know. I'll have to look at that. I don't remember. That was a year ago, 2 years ago that I did that analysis, so I don't know. I have it at the top of my head, but
that was your sixth grade analysis.
Bill pointed out to us that this data isn't often what it seems to be off of their webpage.
So,
that's
another issue.
Issue number three.
Which data are you talking about? I'm looking at lots of data on this handout here.
He's talking about the sheets behind.
How do you put together here?
Sure. On the analysis, it'd be tables 2 and tables 4 that are in question, and in columns for the 2006 and 2010 data. You'll notice that the numbers there are lower compared to 2000 and 2003 data.
Yeah, this doesn't affect my analysis because I was with the big
data. That is index.
Anyway.
Yeah, we're just wanting to double check and make sure that, you know, Abernathy, they weren't just sampling for condition; they were sampling the whole.
Well, it's an index sample.
It's an index sample at McNary. It still is. So that was okay.
So that's what we were trying to mimic your analysis, Gary.
Yeah.
Lower monumental.
No, I understand. You need a population estimate, so I would use.
Exactly.
You know, there's other ways of going about that. I mean, if you want to know. If you don't care, but we can go into that.
But we care. We're just.
It's just that
you know, I was doing the analysis yesterday, trying to mimic what you were doing. And
yeah, I would just go up.
We had a bad data set to start that with.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I would go up to the next a couple dams up, and then just calculate survival rates down to it. Use those like Granite index.
Okay. So for the time being, I think it'd be appropriate that the values that we provided are should not be used.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
We'll go back through and do a reanalysis using upstream population.
Yeah, there you go.
So I guess bottom line here is we were talking in the district about, okay, there's this need to have a better understanding of turbine survival at LOMO because understanding that is going to influence future decisions. And so with that, some of the specifics here are new and I think need some more time to work those both internally and with you all in the region as we develop specifics. This, I think one of the concerns here, though, is because we're getting short on time to get a contract out to the door to do an analysis of turbine survival this year, we needed to get some quick turnaround on whether the region supports some flavor of turbine test at LOMO. And so I don't think FPALM is the place to nail that down and to nail down the specifics of that. But I think in general, if folks see the value in this, we will likely have to call a special SRWG meeting to lay out some of the analysis because some of the specifics here are new to a lot of folks, and that needs to be worked more. Internally and externally.
But the goals of the test need to be defined. I think,
the question isn't very clear here what you're trying to do.
And I think we would be, at least I would be more interested if we were after some of the problems, the issues that we've talked about in the turbine design.
And I think that's how I may have misspoken. Walla Walla was unclear, which is shocking for me. that what we were mostly interested in low monumental turbine test was how can this advance turbine design work, turbine questions, that kind of stuff. I was not looking at let's really nail down turbine survival at low mo, because doing a 2-day test does not really help you when you're going to operate this way for potentially a month, month and a half. It's just this kind of test cannot answer that question. But it can maybe give us information on turbine information and turbine design work. That's
yeah,
where I was
designed a study to do that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what there will be performance standard tests done for granite, for instance,
yep.
In the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the question kind of comes back to: do you want to delay installation of, or extension of the outfall, relocation of the outfall? For those studies, or do you need to have that information right away? That's kind of the question that I see.
Yeah.
If it's just purely a turbine survival general question.
Yeah. So, Bob, I guess I would suggest that you look at your schedule and others to pull together a conference call to better define. What possibilities can be and should be explored this spring. And I realize we're getting really close to, without nailing that down in the very near future, by default we're punting that for a future year.
Oh, you think that, yeah. So you're saying not this year.
Well, if we don't nail it down very soon...
You're not going to have time.
We're not going to have time to get it
done.
You're
right.
Soon being...
End of this month, I would say.
Sounds like there's maybe some division issues.
So we'll be doing some coordination, and I think the next step though is to set up a meeting to discuss what the parameters of a turbine study at LOMO would look like.
And then I guess process question would be is how will this thing go through the process to get ranked, get on the SCT spreadsheet to get ranked on that and all that. I mean, we're going to have to move that along fairly smartly if we're going to do this, pull this all off.
And if there isn't good news tomorrow on SCT, then...
This might be a mute issue anyways.
Yeah. Bill, there's a meeting tomorrow?
SCT.
Okay.
Tomorrow afternoon.
Bob, are you
attending
that?
Dude, that's the party that we have.
I hadn't planned on attending it.
Yeah.
I guess it would make sense after SCT for you and Bill to coordinate.
Well, it would probably be better for Bob to talk to Randy Chong, Walla Walla's representative at SCT. And if Randy wants to bring that as an additional cost to the CRFM program in FY11, bring it to the table tomorrow.
Yep.
And we can talk about it. If it's any more clear what we're talking about. And how much it's going to cost. Because there isn't any extra money in FY11.
Okay.
Now, the limited, I asked Gordy to give me just a ballpark, back of the envelope type estimate for doing the limited study that's described in that handout, and that would be between $400,000 and $500,000. As Bill was introduced, you're looking at probably essentially a full-blown study, which would be around $2 million.
There's a lot of issues here that we talked about. The transport COP hasn't even been
right.
started. We don't know what we're going to be doing at LOMO in the future for transport.
What's a COP?
All this stuff is in the air, so to say the bypass isn't necessary seems premature to me at this point. So I think we need to talk about the future of the bypass.
What are these COPs you speak of?
Yeah, Gary, I don't know.
COP. I'm not sure what they stand for.
Yeah, we're looking at awarding that outfall work this year for $6 million. So a study like this may allow us to say, do we really need that? And do we want to invest $6 million right now in that outfall? So I think it's premature to think we're going to relocate that outfall, knowing that we just had a study result that may indicate no need for that.
Well, that I don't think
you
got to
remember what happened in 2009, though.
We're not going to talk about that here.
Yeah, let's
not. Okay,
let's not.
That's I got a lot of answers for that comment, but I'm not going to say them right now. We'll just need to have another discussion.
So we'll set up a special SRWG.
A special SRWG. We'll coordinate with Randy and Bill, and if we're going to have that meeting, it's going to have to happen soon. As in, like, December, sometime this month?
Erdick, next week. Bob Davidson's lab.
Yeah.
So, come on down.
There'll be more to come on this, and a series of conversations that have to happen between now and when, if and when that meeting is scheduled. Eric, you had something to say?
Yeah, I apologize for being late. This may have already been discussed, but we are hearing that there are going to be a limited number of permits available, and Gary and I chatted about this briefly.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to make the point that we're going to need to prioritize the kind of tests we do, not just for money,
but your fish,
but the number of fish that we can touch. So I don't want to put that on everybody's radar because I don't know that everybody's been hearing that.
That is important. Yeah.
And heard right. Winds.
So
that's right. On the side. Well, okay. That's
we're only going to give you 10 fish this year to work with.
That's perfect for the turbine test, then. That's all we need.
Yeah.
10's perfect.
Maybe about 5 more than we need.
Yeah, I know.
We'll give you 13.
Really?
All you need is 2.
Okay. Thanks. That's a good point. I think we can close this one out for now, knowing that if there's going to be any action in this area of turbine survival study, it's going to have to get framed up and discussed and really resolved this month. So, got it, Bob?
Enjoy.
He already hung up.
Were you tracking all of that?
He's reeling.
Got it.
Okay.
That was his voice going out the door.
Running to Randy.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Paul, you good?
So you guys going to limit.
Yeah. Make sure I'm on the list for that meeting.
Yeah. We'll do.
Okay, so back to the agenda. I'd like to move number 7, which is the foul release coating experiment PSU proposal up to after 2 because the gentleman here from Portland State are in the back of the room. So you guys step on up and we'll start discussing what you have. Some handouts, I'm assuming.
I don't know what you got an email to get the
handout.
I think so.
No, they didn't get that one.
You could probably go through the Zoom here and talk to them.
Has left the conference.
Maybe we could do
okay.
It's just the...
Fair enough. Let's go through our action items.
Coding experiment.
Yeah.
Oh,
really.
So that one stuck here. The following.
Yeah.
They
want
to
hang them off the now. Okay. I'm hoping that's what we talked about.
Yeah. On the spillway side, though, so that's an issue. All
right, so we're going to get into the action items.
Okay.
The first one is the Sockeye handwritten notes. We're going to talk to Russ Kiefer. Tim, did you know if...
No. I wrote a... It directed me to write another letter to IDFG, and I did. I did write that letter, and I also included point number 3.4 in that letter. So that's 2 agenda items in one,
uh-huh.
One letter going on. I have not received a reply back from IDFG.
Okay.
But it was last week. I said,
and did you send that to Russ Kiefer?
No, Mike Peterson.
Mike Peterson. Okay.
Who was the second I saw?
So that can take care of 3, 1, and 4. And then 2 and 3 are the cooling water strainer inspections. And
yeah. So 3.2, I have a date on the calendar to go out to Granite, and it's in like 2 weeks. I have not made it out there yet. But so keep this on as an action item. Should have a report back in January. Exactly what it takes to why cooling water strainers are significantly more difficult to inspect at some projects compared to other projects.
Cool.
And okay. So next month I'll have a better answer.
And 3.3 is Bob. You've got some handouts, I believe.
That's for the cooling water strainers.
Yeah.
I don't have the handouts. They were on the agenda, weren't they?
They, I did not send out the PowerPoint, but you will see them as soon as I send out the minutes.
Okay. It's essentially showing the new strainers that they're putting in at the Dalles, and so there's a picture of the new ones, a picture of the old ones, and a basic concept of how the new ones work, and some basic background on how often they're looked at. and what our plan is to try to monitor, figure out what is actually coming through there for Lamprey.
Yeah, we'll see that on the PowerPoint presentation.
Yes.
Okie dokie. Since I don't have it, I will have to trust you.
Read the notes.
Gosh.
All right, so look for those in the minutes. Lamprey counts.
Tackley, are you going to? I was going to say one thing. So, Tackley, are you going to take that to the Lamprey task group and see if they're all happy with it? Cool beans.
Well, I mean, it will be what it is.
Well, I'm saying that this way, that they will take a review of it and have a shot at it. That too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it says on here that we're going to put together kind of a fact sheet on each of the projects, and that's still the plan.
I just want to make sure we're touching a. Yeah, as long as we keep the Lamprey task group in the loop and make sure that they're informed.
They'll be on the agenda for our next meeting.
Thank you. Otherwise, I'm going to throw you under the bus. Just realize that. So.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Just as long as you understand that.
I'm used to that.
And I'll back up if I have to.
He's been under there before.
I don't want to. Who's driving this bus?
If I have to.
Tom, you're on 3-5. Lamprey cast.
Yeah.
Dave, you got a question. Dave Wells has got his hand up.
I don't want to spoil the punchline of Tim's report, but the only cooling strainers I've seen are the ones at McNary. You said you're putting in new ones. Are they pretty much the same at all projects, or is everyone different?
Nope.
Different.
Okay. Do you think the core could build the same thing?
So is the design you put in something innovative that requires less trouble to check, or...?
No, it's the design. Yeah,
it makes it worse.
Put in it's welded in that now. Something that you don't have to tear it apart to clean the strainer. Basically, it has a thing that.
A participant has joined the conference.
They call it a grinder. I don't know what it is.
A grinder.
That sounds.
Don't you feel we're gonna tackle this problem once and for all?
So you're gonna go to the Lamprey task group and say grinder for me?
No, we're not gonna be near that.
It's a thing that goes around the strainer, cleans it, puts whatever on the strainer off to the side.
LFS
labeling. Is it? Has it been used?
Lamprey sorter.
No,
Lamprey
separator. Yeah.
Lamprey friendly
separates it. Come up with a
strainer. They're all brand new to put in.
Counts are always zero.
We just call them strainers.
The challenge with these automated systems, and I don't think they have any of River, is that it's going to make it really difficult to do the monitoring that we were talking about for potentially diagnosing any.
Okay, so that's why it's called a grinder.
And that's the hang-up. I mean, it's not like you're saving lamprey that you find in the strainer.
No, it was just purely a way of...
But we need to be able to find out what is going through, and so obviously if you have something that grinds something through, that doesn't help you. But we have quite a few of the units at the Dells that still have the old ones in, and so we can monitor those before they actually get the new ones in.
Are they used? Are those the main unit, the units that we're using most often?
That's the problem.
No.
They're
prioritized.
West side of the powerhouse is, no, this is all anecdotal information. West side of the powerhouse, they told me that that's where they have seen the most and had the most plugging in the past. And most of those have the new grinders on. The grinders on.
Yeah.
But we have two units on that west end, number three and number four, that have the old ones on. We'll try to get some information from those before they put in the new ones.
Well, the one thing we did see was turbines that had fewer runtime, it actually sometimes had more lamprey, so it's good to have both. Okay.
So, right. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So any other questions on lamprey strainers?
More of these kind of going.
No burn, not for me.
All right.
Because they're on the bottom. Yeah.
Okay, good. Then we can talk about lamprey counts from Tom.
All right, I have talked to Bob.
Lamprey guys.
Yes, and they're supposed to talk to the next Lamprey task group about, they're supposed to internally see if they have a problem with putting them all together. I don't think they do, but I will have to double check, because I've not heard back from them yet.
So, you're going to report back next at Bob on
Lamprey? Or at the Lamprey task group, they can take care of that as well.
Bass studies, Bob Cordy provided results to Mesa, and then he's working on a one-pager. What's the status on that?
That's the one-pager for the Dalles. The one-pager for John Day is done. That was sent to Matt Mesa. I didn't get a response from him yet. And the one for the Dalles is, I mean, it's not even much to it. We didn't see anything out of 15 samples. But that one-pager is not
possibly put together. And next year we will have a plan to try to get more, and hopefully get more other fish too, try to get walleye and catfish.
Okay. Any discussion? 3.8 we're going to talk about later on in the agenda. 3.9 is the Erdick trip. Tim?
Yeah. So, folks have...
Let's do it right now.
Yeah, we can just cover this now. So, Bill had asked that we delay it a week. We sent it out and coordinated with everyone, and it looked like everyone who was planning to go could also go the following week, as well as Russ Kiefer, who didn't want to miss the last week of chukar season, which was the originally scheduled trip. He will now be attending this week that we've rescheduled for. So,
do you know if Oregon is going to be able to make it?
Yes.
Okay.
I talked to Rick, and he said that works for him, and he's good to go.
Okay.
I think I talked to a reporter from the Oregon. He wants to go, too.
Jim, my request was that it conflicted with the Willamette AFEP review.
Right, right.
And not chukar.
To me, that's very important that I attend that studies review.
Yeah, no, I get it, and I was
so I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I was really glad we were able to get it worked out. So I know I'd heard back from Jason, and I talked to him, so I think we're good, so we can go ahead and block that week out on your calendar. So January 31st, and then the first few days of February.
Yeah. So is there is there room for a little guy from FPC to go along, or is he gonna have to make his own plane ticket?
Yeah. So here's where we're at. Yeah. He's invited, but in
he has to pay his own way.
Yeah.
That's just mean.
Where do you draw a line? Oregonian want to get paid?
Well, yeah, I think Fish Pasture Center has at least some regional applications, and since they are the adult inspectors of the region for
no, it's
you might why they pay for the Oregonian getting to go along.
Yeah,
actually,
no, it's not. It's my understanding that there's funds, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Dave, but funds already provided from BPA in their contract for travel, and so, I mean, it's.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's travel, though.
Invited to come, we want your participation.
No, I was saying, then I guess we'd have to make sure that your funds for travel are increased, because his funds for travel are to travel up to, like, Lower Granite, Lomo, Little Goose, to do inspections on the adult fishways. That's what he's budgeted for. It's not budget to go travel to Hawaii and check out the fish ladders down there, because if it was, I'd take his job. But
rent a van and drive down.
There you go. It's a nice time of year to drive.
Do that. Just gotta get south.
He might beat us there with security these days.
So, yeah, in talking to folks, the intent of providing travel funds is to coordinate with the region and sovereign parties, whether it's NOAA, states, and tribes. So that's where our focus is, and that's what I've been told is the purpose of providing travel funds.
So, Dave, you need to become one of the states. So have become one of their members in your
vehicle. Increase your budget.
Yeah. Or increase your budget. Yeah, one or the other.
Okay,
well,
so...
States could designate him as a...
Before we get to updates, let's go ahead to the handout that just went around from Mark and Steve from Portland State. They've been working a lot with the Corps over the past years on zebra mussels, and
they like to talk about this foul release coating.
I'm sure everybody in the room hardly has looked at anything or knows anything about it, so if you want to enter one like that.
Got my comments.
Okay.
If I can give you a brief up.
Yeah, please do.
Background on, because you know their zebra and quagga mussels are threatening to come into the West. They're 250 miles from the Oregon border down in Northern California. And they're showing up on boats coming across this country on a regular basis. So we've been working for a long time and trying to prevent movement. We've got boat inspection programs in all the states now in the Pacific Northwest. So we've got this prevention program in place. But we know that it's porous,
and the boats are going to get through. So we've sort of switched to planning for how we're going to manage for these things when we get here. And one of the things we're interested in working with Corps, and we've got money from BPA to do this study, is to look at foul release coating. So fish screens, fish ladders, all those structures that could be colonized by zebra hog mussels could be painted with this material. And it's, Steve can explain the details of how it works, but it would basically keep them clean and fog. That's one of the, it's an expensive measure, but it's one of the few measures sort of to mitigate colonization of these organisms. There are other things like flow, they can't settle when flow is really high, but structures are already in place in the river. We're not going to make any fish handling facilities or anything like that in the river system. So we have to look at these mitigation measures. So we got money from the BPA to test three different coatings, and Steve will go over it, but the idea behind it is we'll paint some concrete and some metal plates with these coatings, put them in the river, expose them to flow, and then test them for their longevity. The issue, we know that they work, they're foul release coatings, they work. The question is, how long do they work in the Columbia River? How quickly are they scoured and the surfaces break, degrade and they just don't function anymore? So in a nutshell, the project is to paint these panels, put them in the river over, and remove them from the river periodically for a four-year period, do some physical tests on them to see how well the coatings are standing up, then actually take them down to Lake Mead, where we have a lot of quagga mussels, put them in the water, and see if the mussels can attach to them. So that's sort of a study in a nutshell. Test the longevity of these coatings. So it's a four-year plan project. DPA is only funding us for 1 year at a time, but the plan is to test it over 4 years. And actually, to make these economical, they have to have a lifespan. They have to function for probably more than 4 years for these kind of coatings to be economical. So that's the study in a nutshell, what we plan on doing. Steve is the one that's actually doing the work, so he can go over some more details and some of the document that just you don't want.
So the big question will be, what's the impact of fish?
Well, toxicity.
What kind of research has been done? Because we've gone through this with zinc already and tested some of the...
Lowry
has joined the conference.
Tested some of our grates we've had on site for years, and so that's, of course...
Zinc, copper, heavy metal, things.
Right. Well, that's the document that Steve just handed out, sort of a review.
Your three coatings aren't those, I know that, but what I don't know is what toxicity tests have been done on what you're proposing.
So toxicity-wise, these panels are very favorable for the salmon. They're basically conventional toxicity tests, no toxic effects. And that's on fish, that's on zooplankton, daphnia. So these are, non-biodegradable. They're very persistent. So that's the problem. They're not going to bioaccumulate. They're not toxic.
Is there documentation on that?
Quite a lot.
That's in the document.
So the foul release coatings are basically silicon-based coatings. You have a matrix of the coating, which is silicon-based. that bound silicon coating is basically inert, and silicon is tons of studies. I mean, Dow, tons of work on that. The problem could be where, in some of these coatings, you have a unbound polydimethylsilicone, basically a silicon look. It's not bound within this matrix. And that migrates to the coating surface and then is exuded into the environment. And that's part of the coating effectiveness. A lot of work has been done on those oils. That's the predominant, this document deals predominantly with those, because that's where the concern is. They're being released into the environment. If the coating matrix, the bound silicon, is ripped off, for example, that's just going to settle down and be particulate. So the real concern is what the impact of these free oils will have.
Whoever's on the phone, can you put your phone on mute, please? Thank you.
So the effect is the free oils. That's a big question.
There's two issues there. One is toxicity. The other one is avoidance. Right. And we'd be concerned, what we're most concerned about, because we don't think these would be toxic, likely. But if there's some scent that gets into, say, a fish ladder, you know, I don't know if there's been any studies done on the avoidance, and you do the conventional Y type studies, you know,
fish can go up A or B. As they're fairly inert, I mean, these are very inert, and
well, if they're given
fairly
off,
large molecular weights, you know, I don't know if they'd be sensed by salmon in terms of the odor.
But there's a test. I mean, that can be done, and will have to be done before we move. I don't think that's necessary for our study, depending on where the placement of these panels are, but for use of these in a fish ladder, definitely would have to be done. It's not that hard a study to do.
So the proposed study area is the distal portion of the navigation arm. So on the spillway side.
John Day?
John Day Dam, correct. So the last basically 30 meters of that structure on the spillway side, and the top 3 meters of the water column, you'll have these basically support frames, 5 by 6 feet, and the panels will be attached to those. It'll be approximately parallel to the flow of the river. So, you know, you're looking at the study area vicinity. You have the navigation arm, the nav lock, and your northern spillways. It's kind of
what we'll need to see there are some drawings. I mean, I saw the little drawing in there, but I mean some more detail. And the issue is predation and providing predator habitat. In this particular situation, we spent a lot of time and money avoiding trying to get predators.
Structure.
And avoiding structure and keeping our fish and flow away from predator habitat. This could be adding that. So depending on how smooth it is and what the panel structure looks like, we may be able to avoid that, but otherwise it may be better to get off the, you know, out of the main flow, which I know doesn't test part of what you're trying to test here. So
might be a BGS.
That crossed my mind. Yeah, I put it in the forebay and call it a BGS. That would be, I think, probably about a 5-year program. The other way might be to go to another part of the tail race, where you go maybe over the powerhouse above the JBS outfall, where you still have turbid flow, you still have a lot of flow movement, in fact, just over a longer duration, and not as high velocity, but fewer fish that might come in contact. You know, it's just the problem of introducing structure introduces predator habitat. We're pretty sensitive to that, so we want to make sure we look at the structure, at the design, and you know, if it's really smooth, it might be okay. If it's got a lot of, you know, indents and gaps and things, then I would expect it to be pretty prime predator habitat, unless it's toxic to predators.
That'd be cool.
What flow velocity do you need?
Ideally, you know, we'd like to really put it at kind of the max velocity of the main stem Columbia, just in terms of
2 feet per second. Mm-hmm.
To really, I mean, you're looking at the effective surface life flow and the likelihood of being impacted by abrasion and
you don't have muscle issues where you have the high velocities. So I think you want to think about what your application is and let that drive the velocities.
So if you're thinking like an adult ladder, you're probably like 8 feet per second or somewhere around that range.
That's pretty high.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not quite spillway.
No, it's not even near spillway.
In terms of, you know, the
tail race.
Field study where we're trying to do accelerated, you know, erosion of the coatings. So I understand what you're saying. The flow velocities where the coatings are being deployed are probably not going to be the ideal locations for if there was ever a long-term application.
You're just trying to. This is like a highway stripe test. You just want to put it out there and see what happens.
Right. Do you need it like all year round, high velocity, or can it, you like have seasonal? Because there's some spots below the tail race, right by the spillway, and that wing wall that comes out there, that you could put something like there.
Just put it on the wing wall. Yeah. Just.
Is there a reason you picked John Day over, say, Bonneville?
You know, we wanted, the navigation arm at John Day is ideal in the sense that it gets you right in the middle of the main stem. The river coming down is a fairly straight shot, versus Bonneville you have Bradford Island, and the flow environment's a little bit more different. It's one of the longest navigation arms out there. It's main stem Columbia middle, so it's impacting a lot of your salmon species, so... you know, John Day would be ideal for us. There are other dam locations that we could do. In terms of navigation arm, it's nice because you really reduce confounding effects from different panel locations. It's all on one line, same flow, and if you could, and it's a floating structure so that you don't have to worry about depth. You know, in terms of the seasonal aspect of flow, we could deal with that. We are going to remove panels over time, so you have a time series analysis there. So you would get confounding effects, possibly, with an area that experienced seasonal flow changes.
The reason I bring up the location is that at Bonneville, we run the end bays almost all the time. So you have flow all the time. In John Day, you're going to have it, you know, April 10th through August 31st, and you're done. Mm-hmm. And so if you're looking for something that has a lot more run time, you would go
That would be very short run time.
Yeah, Bonneville would be much longer.
Well, that's good. That's good information. We're open.
If there's a way to attach this where you're attaching to an already existing structure, you know, that's flat, and you're just putting the panels, let's say, against a flat structure like the corner collector of Bonneville, for instance, or something like that, then I don't see the predation issue. If it's just an added structure in the tailway, especially a floating added structure like at John Day, then I don't see how we could approve that without having a lot of input on the design. And, you know, taking panels out then is going to create nonconformity, which is what predators take advantage of. So we'd have to really look carefully at that, because that could be, I for one am not convinced we're going to have a zebra mussel issue here. So, you know, we got to weigh the negative effects of the test against the positive benefits down the road if we actually do get. See, I won't be around long enough to really.
How large is your floating structure?
Be yelled at about saying that.
How large is your structure?
Well, it's 1x8.
Each frame is going to be 5x6, 6 feet long.
How many?
And, you know, there'll be 27 frames, and we'll space them out about a meter and a half apart. So, you're looking at 80 meters series under one structure. So, there, you know, and as we remove things, you know, the substrates will be mapped and randomized. So, we'll remove not just like an entire panel. It'll be removing piecemeal. And so, you know, I didn't think about the aspect of, I mean, I was planning on putting just a fake substrate back in to maintain the flow environment across. Because you want to have a continual flow. So. But the space in between the panels, we've kind of designed that because we're expecting under main stem flow that there's going to be some movement of these structures. We're planning on 3 wire cables per structure. So not much movement, but that, you know, you have a frame here and then you have a frame here. And so I didn't think about the predator effect of having that gap in between.
That's the only concern I can see. But
if you can keep it really tight against the wall, so there's not much area for them to get behind, in between is not going to be a big deal. It's mostly just keep it tight against the wall, don't have a big floating structure where it's got a quiet sanctuary behind it and a hydraulic rest spot. That's what you want to
minimize. That's just perfect. Perfect predator habitat. They can hold and then strike and go back and strike.
Another thought too, dam anglers can get out there easy on that wall. So
yeah, but they don't work every day, all day long.
No, that's
true.
We were worried about them practicing their lures against
the not that effective
like
that. Either.
Like fishermen on the navigation of?
Yeah, we have dam anglers.
Carbon
on the dam. And they usually focus on the tail race, but.
Hired.
Yeah. It's not public.
Yes.
Yeah, it's contracted. It's not public. But I think what you probably need to do is define exactly what you're looking for in terms of site, and then let us spend some time thinking about sites.
Okay.
Because I don't want to see this in a situation where we add predation and reduce survival, especially when we're trying to evaluate John Day's survival and with a $15 million study next year, and then have, you know, if the survival is low, below the standards of John Day, we're going to be pointing right at you guys.
It's all the toxicity test.
$15 million.
So we can revise this and come back with some criteria for location.
Yeah, I think that's the best, because we'd like to see the study done. And I don't think it's a toxicity issue. I'd like to look at the papers some more, but, you know, definitely need to look at this olfactory response issue. That can be done later once you get through the tests. We just need to figure out a spot to do it that satisfies your criteria.
It'd be nice to find a spot that already has some infrastructure, like
That's a corner collector wall.
Sleds,
you know.
Or
But I understand the desire to have.
Don't put these in front of an adult entrance.
Big area.
Some place that already has something sticking there, so it's not creating a new.
So the wing wall bonds.
Those are pretty efficient, though. They're pretty hydraulically efficient.
Extended out.
They're well designed for that.
What kind of floater do you need on that?
It's like the high waist drag test.
Yeah, I got a lot of concerns about this.
In the center of the dam?
Yeah,
you're thinking?
Yeah, what's that thing? Because isn't our spill pattern based towards it?
It is.
And so you'll shut them off to the north, and so you're going to cram it. If you do a jump that you want to keep it where the spill pattern's turned on.
Yeah.
And so it's more towards the power hose.
That's right, we're fishing. I don't want something stuck while we're trying to.
Depends how smooth it is.
But it's not going to be because they're going to take panels off of it.
But there's a structure in the tail race to
make it so it's smooth. You can just pull in.
If you have little guides or something,
pull out. Pull out the
old pound
spill. Yeah.
You looked at
it. Make it on guides.
Cover something.
Can you move these guys at a location? So, like, on the south end,
the thing is,
they
just need to
know what
kind of structure.
How much money do they have?
That's like right in
the little stubborn.
DPA.
They got all the money in the world.
I know, they seem to.
They got all my money.
The ladder comes down.
Yeah, market on the shop.
Yeah.
I mean,
we can design something. It's a matter of finding what velocities they want.
All right, I got a suggestion. Sounds like we need to do a little bit more work on this, but Scott's really knowledgeable about all the hydropower projects, and maybe you guys can work with him on selecting the best site and meeting your needs based on the criteria that we can bring back to FOM.
Okay, we're going to put it right in front of the spillway, so we have to shut off spillway.
So you'll send everything through Scott and Tammy.
Okay,
we'll
get
it out to the region. Okay. Question, Dave Wills.
Well, a question, a couple of comments, and I tried to read through this pretty quickly, so I may have not. No, I didn't fully understand it. But at one point, it says that the material PDMS, obviously it's not bioaccumulated, but that it's not toxic, except that some studies say it is toxic to juvenile fish or small fish, and that this stuff precipitates out and just goes into the sediment. So I guess I'm thinking long term, I would need more information to make me comfortable to understand if you have information on how much stuff leaches out from certain surface area material and how much stuff we could expect to deposit into the tail race of each project, because ultimately we're talking about a huge amount of surface area at each dam that this stuff is going to go on. And we don't, I'm just not sure what it means to have all this stuff in the sediment if it is going to have some effect on juvenile fish, which again.
A lamprey?
So there is no direct toxic effect. Now, what you could potentially have with PDMS oils is a physical mechanical effect. So not necessarily by definition a toxic effect.
I might ask that.
So with, you could affect, in relation to salmon, you could impact benthic and zooplankton abundances and distributions. Now, that has only been observed, like, so burrowing behavior in some worms has been reduced in lab tests at very high concentrations.
You really don't want to say that.
Well, that's
I'm trying to be completely honest with you.
No, I'm just saying. Because that. Did you?
I know exactly where
he's the worm guy. So.
Hey, they're not worms. God.
What is not clear to me reading through this
worms,
is you say it's not, you need very high levels of this stuff.
A participant has left the conference.
Really?
But I have no relation, I have no gauge to understand what that means compared to what's going to be given off by this material over a long period of time.
I think there's a lot of unknowns in this.
Right. We got to start it.
There's a lifespan is an economic issue. You can't paint the whole dam with this.
Right.
We would feel broke doing that.
Right.
So it'll be in small, selected locations where you can't get in and physically remove the mussels if they become a problem.
Okay.
So there are lots of things that.
Well, these are sort of long-term.
These are long-term things, and I'm not trying to stop the test of this thing.
The test
I just need these things in the back of people's minds, because as we get back to the worm guy,
Thanks. That's what I want to be called.
Great. And name. Right now, the unknown question is, excellent. Do we have a lot of juvenile lamprey in the sediment areas below the dams or not? Mm-hmm. Or in the reservoirs? And one. I don't want to be solving one problem to create another one.
This has started something
so
new.
I just wanted you to keep some things in mind that we're going to need to have some answers on.
And I think before any of this happens on a large scale, there will be a lot more things that have to be dealt with. This study is just aimed at, what's sort of the economics of the lifespan of these things?
I understand. But it just, like I said, just reading through it just kind of left me with some blanks that I didn't understand. So.
And I'll just add, we also have BPA funding to look at calcium requirements of quagga mussels, because I'm not convinced we're going to
That's my concern. I've spent some time looking into that. It's kind of
what the preliminary data shows, if you take Columbia River water, they'll grow. But
if you
increase calcium, you get a linear response to calcium. They're clearly calcium.
Possibly further up in the Columbia. I don't know about lower in the Columbia. That's what I was looking at, too. That's why I said that.
Calcium.
A few clips in the river.
Any other questions
I'd like to make a comment.
Eric.
I share Dave and Gary's concerns about the long-term toxic effects. I would urge you to think about doing an olfactory Q test sometime before the end of 4 years.
Yeah.
Because if it turns out that because of that olfactory Q, the fish aren't going to go there, regardless of toxicity, you don't need to carry out a test, regardless of how it goes. It is a simple test,
and it's very it's critical.
That is something we start then with the issues of the project.
We'll find funding for that.
If you're talking about 4 year tests, there's no point in.
We'll take this back to BPA and tell them this is something that needs to happen.
Yeah.
Scott.
Go, Eric.
All right. Okay. Well, thank
Scott's
you very much.
And, scribble.
Eric's getting
and be sure to add the olfactory for lamprey as well.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Not just salmon.
Okay. Back to the updates. Dave.
This is maybe an apocryphal rumor, but I heard there may have been a discovery of quagga or zebra up in Flathead.
Yeah,
anybody have any more information on that?
They're still looking at it.
Oh,
damn it, I'm not going to make it out of here before I'm proven wrong.
That didn't take long, did it?
There's two different, I guess, results on that. One says yes, one says no.
I've heard that, too.
They're still looking in more detail.
Should have asked them.
Okay, people are just excited to see them show up.
Well, come on, Bern, let's move on.
Calcium reduction plan.
They're here.
This is the season of sharing.
Sorry, Brian.
Enjoy happiness and giving.
Oh, I'm going to give you.
I know. So I want you guys to give me an update on the FFU Shad one pager. John Dalen, I know you're back there. So we had talked about, just getting rid of counts, Shad counts above Bongo.
Robert went on vacation and he's got the one pager he's going to cut back.
Uh-huh.
I've been accused of the Mitch for a year or two. I think that's what happened.
Okay.
So
we don't have an update.
Tammy said we could do it next month.
So it's Tammy's fault.
I said we could do it next month since Robert has it and he's not here. But also, is there a need for a one-pager if we're just going to stop Shad counting at
the Dalles?
What is the one-pager supposed to actually have at this point?
No counting the Dalles.
It's the record.
It's a one-liner.
That I've heard Burn say over and over again. Or maybe it was Tim. Got to have a record of these changes.
And the reason why.
But isn't the Shad counting the Dalles triggered when we operate the ladders?
The thought was use Bonneville.
So it's a change form. It's not a one pager.
It's a change form.
Okay.
Yeah, not a one pager. One pager is a research. It's not a research.
We're all maternal.
So it's Robert will submit a change form.
Simple.
After he gets back from his holiday, wherever he may be.
Simple change form. And we're done.
Shad. Okay. Good enough. Ben House, do you want to talk about the Tanner Creek gauge? Has it been replaced? What's the update?
Yeah, just replaced.
Replaced.
Yep.
We're good to go.
Working.
Skating
now
by.
Now replaced, but now we're, now it's good.
I didn't realize it was being replaced.
Okay, good. You don't, we don't have to discuss it further.
So I, well.
Didn't know we did.
Yeah. You didn't know. We had issues.
And now we don't. Program. So it's all good.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. It was on there in case we didn't get it
back
yet.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're happy.
The issues related to Chum. Mr. Dykstra. Turbine cooling water strainer monthly update. We love this.
All right, everyone's favorite.
This is like a Saturday Night Live skit right here. And Tim will now do the turbine water cooling update.
We won't make any comment about Jane, you ignorant. Well, there you go. I cut it off.
You did.
Jane, you're ignorant.
Oh, wow.
Here, let me cover this up.
All right, so for Ice Harbor, check. The strainers, middle of November,
00.
Yay. Lomo, November, 0. Little Goose, November, 0. Granite, 0. So,
what kind of a sampling scheme is this?
Well, I can tell you we don't have grinders.
I think it was founded by Noah. I think we got the study plan from Noah.
Off the back of an Applebee napkin.
Yep. So,
John's gone. He's retired.
So anyway, that's the strainer report.
John McTernan.
Thank you, Tim.
Yes.
Hey, Tim. I got a voicemail from Bob Hynith, and maybe he asked you to ask about this today, too, about trying to access this information.
I got a voicemail from him, too.
Okay.
And I followed...
No, he didn't tell me.
I followed it up with an email where I forwarded him this spreadsheet.
Okay.
And I should have included you on it. I included Derek Fryer, Martin Allman, and sent it on to Bob.
Yeah, I mean, did you tell Bob that it's available with the monthly notes?
I did. And okay. He said he was having trouble accessing it, so I just said, ah, here you go.
He's old.
Yeah. You know, yeah,
computers, so, this new tangle technology, it's awful.
No,
he's been hiding from me.
The worm.
The worm, excellent. I'm back in middle school. This is so perfect.
It's a good nickname.
Oh, I know.
It is.
Yes,
Tom the Worm Lures.
Oh, perfect.
So we're going to be saying, where's the worm?
Where's the worm?
10 o'clock, where's the worm?
That sounds like a tequila day.
It's one of the better things you've been called. That's
called worms.
Okay, replacement screens at McNary, Oregon Shore Ladder. That's
not even my family.
This is just a quick update to remind folks that those screens are being replaced. It will. They plan to start, I believe, like January 3. So early January on replacing those screens. The one thing that, the only other piece of this update is, I just learned that folks can see that this is what the new screen looks like, which is slightly different than the old mesh. Actually, the size. The size of the hole actually is slightly smaller. So I'll send it around. You can see a picture here, and on the back, there's a little diagram of what the old mesh was just a straight circle as compared to this triangle. So the size of
open area.
The old was 3/16.
Open area.
And this open area is slightly below that point.
Something or other.
139.
Yeah, but fish aren't round. They're sort of dorsal ventrally squished, and it looks like they could go right into that triangle.
No, actually, well, the triangle's got a circle on it, though. It's a smaller
square
than the old open.
So here, this is the paper, and
neither one of which meets criteria. No.
Correct.
No.
Well,
I mean, the only concern I have is, are you going to have more problems with debris with these new meshes?
What's the area? What's the area? The area, open area on this, the difference.
It's called the...
I don't have that here.
That's the key, not just the circle size, which is...
Well, if you have 3/16, you can do pi r squared of that, and then if you want...
But if you want to figure that one out for me real quick...
A triangle's easy. Half times base times height. Good Lord, people, do not know your general geometry.
Figure it out.
Give me a calculator.
general.
Is that available so they can do exercise some other time?
I just got this.
Lord, people.
I can't in third graders again. Send out that page just so you have the picture and you have the diagram, or you can wait for Tom's quick analysis.
I can do that.
But it
must be inches.
Our hydraulic engineers tell us it's going to function
exactly the same as
The other one.
Hydraulically, yeah.
Hydraulically, but what about biologically?
That's right.
We'll find out.
Which is why we have a biological test that will be accompanying the.
We do. Not the test. It's not a screen test. It's a test to see if fish show up or not. If none show up, there's not much of a test.
And you're going to pay to put these screens in and not know if they work or don't?
Huh? No, they're going in a few weeks.
Well, okay.
Not anymore, they're not.
I must be very confused today.
So am I.
Raise your hand.
So, it's... I just wanted to clarify, because this, I've been saying all along that this was an in-kind screen replacement.
Right,
and
you're fibbing to us.
And I got a call from
less open area.
The operating project manager, as he heard me saying that, as I coordinated with folks, he said, well, actually, now that they've showed up on site,
less.
They are slightly different.
Approved.
There you go.
And the open area is actually less, as my analysis has indicated.
Yes, you're done.
Good job.
Good job.
Any questions?
It sounds fine. It's a tough calc.
I don't know how to do that stuff. I'm a biologist.
I wouldn't trust Lawrence's calc.
Yeah, you might want to.
I'm not so sure I would either. Larry?
What?
Got a calculator? Area of a triangle?
Could you check that out for us, please?
Okay, so next update. I'll move on to 4.5.
Seven.
So I guess the only question is, I mean, the concern you have with that is that you got less surface, so you're going to be more likely to have debris build up on that. And we have no better way to maintain maintenance. So is that a concern for you guys?
Well, the old ones really concerned us because they didn't travel.
Well, they were going to fail. Horribly, yes.
And so there was the major debris accumulation was when you have this screen that wasn't stuck traveling. I think when the screens are traveling, it should...
Hopefully clean.
Clean. Yeah. And so... We'll see. I don't think this is going to, from a maintenance or debris accumulation standpoint, I don't think it's going to accumulate significantly more debris than the old. Other than now they're going to travel.
Want a cracker worm?
Play one cracker?
Okay, well, I guess that's true. Remains to be seen, yep. But it should be okay.
Yep.
I guess.
That's right. Rodman is a worm.
That's right. Dennis Rodman.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll color my hair for
start.
I'll color my hair for
it. That is strange. You know my feeling on him.
All right, let's get to the
three. Okay, 4.5. McNary emergency bypass operation. As Gary remembers, sent out an email on this. The project was having a difficult time a couple of weeks ago when temperatures dropped into the single digits. So we went to emergency bypass, and they've since tried multiple times to return to primary bypass, and we're having a hard time doing it because temperatures, lows continued to stay well below freezing. And so... So we're going to be in the rest of this, you know, up until December 15 in emergency bypass. And Gary, you and I had talked, I think at AFEP, about you wanted to have a better understanding of what the hydraulic conditions were in the emergency bypass. And so, Ryan, are you on the phone?
Yes.
Ryan may not have all the answers, but I at least wanted him to be on the phone to provide some input on what he knows about hydraulic conditions, as well as hear potential concerns or questions so we can get more information if Ryan doesn't know. So, Ryan, do you want to start with a description, or you want to take questions from Gary?
Whatever Gary wants to do, I can do it either way. So,
why don't you just start out, I guess, with...
Ryan, I guess what I'd like to see is just the diagram and the water surface profile through that system. To understand what these fish encounter as they go through it. So the main concern is that they, what happens to them when they get
to the bottom of that drop. I know there's a pool there now. Tim's told me that there's some level of water that they're falling into. I don't know how deep that is. We probably want to take a look at what happens to, let's say, a 6 or a 10-pound fish falling over that thing, and you know, what happens to it, regardless of the water that we have there. So my concern is that this isn't the best place for adults to be passing. And I'd like to see us, if it's not, it doesn't mean we don't use it. It just means we need to look at modifying it in the future, making it a better route of passage. So,
okay. So
I just wanted to mainly look at the water surface profile and the depths and things like that and hydraulics through it.
Okay. I guess specific to the downwell, I did kind of run some numbers there, and it looks like we can have a maximum drop of 36 feet, and the plunge pool is about 11 feet deep in there. So that would be the worst-case scenario. And lower discharges, you get better setups. So you can have a 24.5-foot drop, and it'd be 24 feet deep.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So
that's at what? So what is that, a tailwater?
It'd be a function of the discharge and whatever running through the orifices.
Yeah, so it's a function of the bypass.
Yeah.
Not the sluice way. We don't have a sluice
right
anymore. Okay, and then what we need to look at is what happens to a fish dropping down through there and hitting an 11-foot deep pool. Maybe okay?
Do we have situations where we don't have plunge pools and they do okay?
What's that?
I was just kind of thinking along the lines of Bonneville B1. I'm not aware if they have a plunge pool there, so I don't know if we have any information there.
Yeah, that's what we're going to try to study this year, so it'll help us in this decision. But
yeah. So at least we have a plunge pool here. I don't think we have one there,
but the drop isn't as far either. But yeah, that's our concern there too. So
yeah,
we'll get a look
our
at that.
Our drop's here, like I said, about 25 to 36 feet. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So, Dave Wilson.
Ryan, I'm just curious: is there any expected dramatic impact from TDG creations?
Oh, that depth
from that passer drop.
So those are all issues to think about.
They would be. Yeah, I don't know.
Probably not. As a the tailwater is pretty low. I mean, we're right at 100%. In the river, so it's a small flow.
Okay.
It probably wouldn't change anything in the river.
It's adults.
But right at that spot, well, depth compensation comes into it and all that, but that's an issue. I guess what I'm thinking, maybe Tim is too, and the McNary project certainly probably is that if we can make this a safe route for adults, we could go to it earlier in the season and not have to wait.
To me, this is it's a little early to really dive into this, but let me just throw out. There's two paths that we could go down. We can either improve the emergency outfall, or we could make changes so that we can stay using the primary outfall
longer.
And this is what's a little early because I still need to get some specifics on this, but there may be some opportunities. One of the problems that prevents us from staying in primary bypass longer is we can't fully dewater the juvenile fish facility. And so if we can, John and Ken went out there this week Monday or Tuesday, and there may be an opportunity to basically put a new valve in and reroute some water, so there'd be an easy valve shutoff, so that you wouldn't have that juvenile fish facility freeze problem, which would allow us to stay in primary bypass longer.
Okay.
And that's something that I'm not really comfortable getting into too many more details because I haven't had anyone look at it.
Yeah,
it was just a kind of off the cuff. Look, when we looked out there, it seems like there may be some opportunities that I need to further explore. I don't think it's something that's going to. I'm quite confident based on the amount of effort that it would take to do that. we're not talking about something that can just happen quickly this winter. It's likely something for next winter. So we will have likely be in a similar condition as we are now next year.
Well, let's make sure we write up some language in the fish passage plan for this coming year that describes our thought process here and our action process for next year. So we don't have to deal with that.
Where is the emergency? Or the
comes down at this
right
end?
Yeah. Drops down here, goes right out there.
Okay. So you mentioned one thing, and I just want to throw this out for thought, I guess, but if you go to the emergency bypass earlier in the season, will we be losing any pit tag information that we're concerned about?
Yes.
Okay.
Certainly going that.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, if we're going to make the conscious effort of going to it earlier, everybody has to be informed about
it. I mean,
this is because of weather.
Well, I understand.
Yeah. No, what I'm talking about,
but it sounded like he said just go to it before there's a problem.
I am. Yeah. I am. And you would have to put a detector in there, which can be done.
Which is why, to me,
Scott could do it.
I would prefer to come up with a solution that would allow us to stay in primary bypass longer. So when temperatures get cold, we can still stay in primary bypass.
Yeah, we can do that.
That to me is my preference. Okay. And that would, I think that's the route we're going down. I just can't lay out the specifics yet because it's still early. But I do believe that we'll be in a similar situation next year. So we will have some new language in the fish passage plan. But I hesitate talking about installing pit antennas on the emergency bypass because I hope that we're not going to deal with this two Decembers from now. So,
That's fine. So
if we wrap it back to today's problem, should we consider start pulling the screens on Monday and just shutting the system down? I mean, the 15th is what, 6 days away? And so if we start on Monday, you can get the crew to get it done next week and just be done with this issue, not go through that emergency bypass at all. And part of the consideration of the fish passage plan, it's always weather dependent, and obviously we're in the weather that it's not working. And so that's something to consider.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to stop protection for adults. Do not. If we think that emergency bypass is okay, then I want to stick with it because that's better than turbines. I mean, you're going to have to kill a lot of fish in that emergency bypass to overcome what we think turbine mortality is for adult salmon.
But what we've seen it for, so we actually have information on that.
So, no, I want to maintain the protection if we think it's protection. I just don't know. You know, I don't know what happens when you drop a fish 36 feet into an 11-foot pool.
Was it 11? I thought it was 6 foot.
Did you say 11, Ryan?
Yeah, 36 and 11.
Oh, okay, so you got an 11-foot deep pool. Is that worse than turbines? You know? I mean, the other problem here is we're still not avoiding orifices, which is in either case.
Well, let's take it out of service.
But then you run them through the turbines.
Well, I know, but you'll start on the 15th. That's what will be happening, and so
we would do. That's what the that's what the plan says, and that's what we should stick with, unless we think the other is worse. And then
right.
We should redo
the
plan.
Today, the decision needs to be: do we continue what we're doing, yes or no? And then, in the long term, it's look at the valve so we don't have to get in this situation.
We're judging this as better than turbines. That's the judgment at this point.
So, Gary, you... Okay.
Yep. Follow the fish path.
So you stay until the 15th, and then you pull the screens.
Yeah.
I love to pull screens early, but I don't... You know, it's just... You know, my issue with the adult fallback in McNary, this isn't helping it, so...
Okay.
I want to know, you know, that 36-foot drop into the 11-foot pool, that's running minimum water basically through the system, and we're not typically doing that. So the average is a 24-foot drop into 24 feet of water. So
okay, well that's good. I would say that this is better than letting them all go through turbines.
Yeah.
So I had a question on that drop
feet of water.
Down the bottom. That's kind of like a curve on the bottom, and then it goes to some sort of opening.
Yeah,
to regulate
an orifice.
Pool.
Yeah, it goes through an orifice, and there's a kind of the bottom of that downwell. It does have a 15-foot radius, and then there's an orifice there that's 3 feet by 12 feet, and so the velocities through that orifice are 12 to 18 feet per second.
Brian, do you have drawings of that? Is there something you can send to us to just
Yeah, I need to come. I think I steal stuff from the PSP drawing sets and reconfigure those so they see what's going on there.
That'd be great. Just to have a visual on that would be.
Yeah.
You can just send those to me, Ryan, and I can get out to F-Bomb.
Thanks, Ryan.
Right. Yep.
Hey, thanks a lot, Ryan. That was really helpful.
All right.
Any other questions for Ryan?
That's it.
Okay.
We're good.
Run away. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.
4.7?
Yeah, 4.7, we already talked about. We moved the date for the Little Goose Ordic trip. We had you've seen the agenda for what we plan to do down there. And at the last F-Palm, I said that at today's F-Palm, we wouldn't really dive into that. It would just be to say we've finalized it. And so, is anyone any issues with nailing that down? Okay, good to go. We have an agenda then for what we're going to accomplish on at Goose or at Erdic. So, that's it that I have for that topic. Let's see. Okay, 4.7. An update at Little Goose entrances. We have
Lowry
has left the conference.
NPE 2 and NSE 1. Those are the adult fishway entrances that were broken and in need of repair, and so we're on track to start that.
Oh, you're talking, I think we're talking two different things here now. This one is the NSE3 and the NPE3. They were going to put the cement bulkheads in. Those are on track. Those are scheduled to be put in during the winter maintenance period.
Starting in January.
And so far, the schedule looks like they'll be in place and operational March 1st. Well, I mean, closed up on March 1st, I should say.
The adult fishway.
NPE3 and
NPE3 and the NSE3. Those are the size differences that goes into the spill play.
NPE3.
Yes. About a year ago, year and a half ago, we put the DSW in Bay 1 and it destroyed that entrance. I knew it was leaking when I was there, but it destroyed it this time. Also on the other side, same thing's going on.
So you're just going to bulkhead them off like you've done everywhere
else. We'll form a case on the outside, case on the outside, and just bulkhead it. And just cement the whole hole.
Yep. So that's a pretty big project that's
permanently closed.
We finally got that through our small cap program, and I have it funded and contracts out, and we're moving forward on that this January.
Cool.
So
it's moving forward.
I don't want to think about your cast.
So I just wanted to make sure people were aware that that work's proceeding this winter. I'll move on to 4.8. This one's most likely for Tom. But
the worm stuff.
Dead lamprey. We need to...
I know. I talked to Bob. He hasn't gotten back to me. I will cross him again.
This
is a great thing to bring up to the lamprey task group.
Okay.
So they can maybe put some more heat on people.
You could fry them up.
So I guess...
What, you want some pickled ones?
Yeah.
Could you give a brief summary of the problem?
Yeah, it's... Just the issue here is that the project bios, particularly at Goose, they had a slug of juvenile lamprey come through, and a bunch of them died. And I talked about that a few months ago.
We're going to save them for
Jeanette. We collected them, and every project has some a few number of lamprey in their freezer, juvenile lamprey.
I just need to down for next F-Palm in a big cooler. I'll give them to Bob, and they're his responsibility.
Desk. In his office. When he's gone.
Exactly. Is the store, is the problem that they don't have enough storage space?
No.
Or just getting them down somewhere else?
The problem is that a couple of the projects, I think, actually have them. Yes. 2 years worth of lamprey in their freezer, and they're kind of getting annoyed at me because I keep telling them, hey, we're working on it, we'll have something to you really soon, and then I get a call 2 months later, hey, I got a bag full of lamprey, what do you want me to do with them? I was like, we're still working on that. So I just put it on the agenda because I got another call a week ago saying, hey, what are we doing if we still have that bag full of lamprey? Yeah.
So it's disposition of stored lamprey.
I think the lamprey task group needs to make this decision.
What was he going to send them?
Provide the guidance. What was he going
to do with it? Well, one thing I just wanted to make sure of,
I'll tell you.
Okay, so if Tom or Bob Hineth come back and say, okay, we got a plan, we're going to do something with them, I just want to make sure everyone's okay with that. Noah, you didn't. There's not going to be some competing proposal to have these lamprey, right? Okay. I just wanted to bring
unless
it here.
Unless it's the Noah Bait Shop, I don't think so.
It's the worm shot.
What are you saying?
So if folks are, if Bob asks for those lamprey, just want to know the Fish and Wildlife Service, Noah, they're okay with knowing that those lamprey are, we're sending them to...
Supposedly the plan was, Bob supposedly has a guy's going to do genetic sample work on them at UBC, and it's under a EPA project, so all the information will be on a public website to be available.
It would be criminal not to do that, I would think.
Yeah. Well, I agree. I just wanted to make sure that I didn't do that, and then the next month or the next week have Mary Mosier come over and say, hey, we had a test planned. We have whatever.
Dead lamprey? I think you're fine. No. I don't think there's any dead lamprey tests to do.
No, nothing that I know of. And
well, that's the thing.
I mean, we'll technically, you would need a transport permit.
From states.
For dead ones?
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. We require that from our fish trap.
You do for the states.
Every fish
that's why CritFix should go pick them up from the projects.
I have, our lamprey guy just had his kid, so I don't know when he's going to be back on the road. So
anytime you want to send the tribes out.
We can hold them, but we're not going to do anything else with them.
That's fine.
So when you want them, you come and get them.
That's what I'm trying to encourage.
A lot of deadline, the freezer's full.
Freezer's full.
Do you want them?
You have your specials too.
Would it be worth putting them in one freezer though, just consolidate them, so that when they get picked up, they get picked up from somewhere.
We'd have to transport them.
EPA can buy an old ice cream truck and just go off.
Bring out your dad. Bring out your dad.
I can look at that.
That accident, I could pick.
Yeah. Okay. So,
keep this rolling.
We'll keep moving to.
This is an update.
Update?
This is an update on
Rorschach. 4.9. And this is not much of an update.
We're still investigating. Done.
Yeah.
So we're waiting for the whole
thing. I'm still. And by the way, we'll finish yours. I've got a question.
Let him do his update.
So the update is NOAA has sent out their team of two investigators, I believe, that went out and
Larry and Mel. And they got left behind.
Gary was busy. sent out their crew and met with folks that were on site at the dam. Met some of the hatchery folks from Dvorak Fish Hatchery in Clearwater went up to help with the salvage. And so they interviewed those folks. Greg and I were on the phone with one of the investigators just this past week. And so the investigation is still ongoing. It's not closed. I committed to y'all last month that I'll keep you engaged. That's why it's on here, is just to let you know it's still moving, and certainly we'll be talking to folks as we start developing solutions.
What I'm going to say is to our guys, and I already have, is that this committee should work out the solution with our remedial action, and the end point would be another appendix in the Fish Passage Plan that deals with this Dvorak.
How would we start about that point then?
Change form?
We'll change form then. So
no.
It's not really a change form. This is a new appendix.
It would be a new appendix. Review it and then add it to the...
Yeah, it's just like we did with Chief Joseph. And I think that's exactly the process. And we just pay attention. It would be dewatering and fish salvage.
Well, I guess that's two of one question. So since we have a draft FPP coming out and we need to get comments in, should we do that sooner rather than later? I mean, this is like irregardless of what they come out.
The FPP language?
Yeah, at least get the appendix going and that kind of stuff. Yeah. And then we can change as necessary from what panel the investigation.
I know what's going to happen here.
Yeah, well, I think we all do.
Yeah, we all do. And it's following the same pathway that we've seen in the past. So the sooner we get started on developing that dewatering and salvage plan, the better off we're going to be, because not only, you know, is it going to be required, but you'll be able to answer those folks who are asking that. There it is.
Yeah.
Well, Tim, when's the next unit coming out of service?
Tomorrow.
I have to be out of service.
Not till next year, I believe.
Are we sure?
I'm not sure.
Well, this is the big unit.
The reason I bring it, we may need to ask them to make sure if that's when it's going to happen, we have to have it in place by
then. They set up their outage schedule and then show next year about the same time.
That's really not the driving issue here. It's going to be more the investigation and having something in place
for when it might happen because we need
That's exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No, but that.
We already took our mulligan.
But if it's a long time from now, I don't want to wait till that either. So.
That's a mulligan.
I got these kind of things.
Yeah. So.
As soon as you can get it.
We'll. We'll. This
still
will,
out.
What's that?
Is that unit still out?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's a long. It was a triennial, so it was,
they have a lot of. And there's a lot of
damage.
Well, we're told there's a lot of cavitation damage since we ran at 1.2 instead of 1.5 for minimum flows from Gorshak. So they got a lot.
They have an extra.
Since we run at 1.2, there's more cavitation. So what we were told yesterday at TMT was there's a lot more. They're going to keep it off an extra week because of all the additional cavitation damage they found. So there's a lot of cavitation. Well, yeah.
Interesting. I know that's.
Yeah. So this will be just on the agenda again next month, and
there. That's a good question. We'll probably have.
And I think we should. We'll have something in terms. I don't know that it'll be a draft that everyone's going to feel really good about, but at least we'll have some proposed language for a fish passage plan.
And I think it gives you guys cover, saying, "Hey, here's at least we now have something that a paper guy's going to follow." And that kind of
follow.
That makes sense.
Look at Chief Joe. I mean, that's
going to
be fairly simple.
Yeah.
Or similar. I shouldn't say simple, but similar.
It would be
approach.
Similar to Chief Joe.
Yeah.
I'm going to massage that one just a little bit.
That's fine. Yeah, it's a different day.
So that is something, actually, there has been some effort that we've already started down that path. Certainly.
Let's just get that, you know, what I'm looking for is a,
start
you know,
exchanging. Yep.
Potatoes.
Discussion with
them. And then I guess the first question I had was, do we have any sense on time of when the NOAA and or the Corps investigation report is going to be out? Are we talking 2 years FAA investigation report, or are we talking like a couple months?
That's a good question.
I think we're talking more a couple months.
Okay.
Yeah, there's some legal issues here, so, and lawyers are still talking about it.
That means it could come out on WikiLeaks first.
Better not. No, after all the crap we got on the email.
But that doesn't preclude us from getting our job done.
No.
We get our
work
done.
No, I just service sooner than later.
Yeah, no, I just need that information because I'm getting questions back home with the office saying, "Hey, what's going on?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Hey, there's two investigations." To figure out, find out roughly when you guys.
Yeah.
So the key is before we do another dewatering, we're going to have the stop logs in place. We're going to run the unit in a timely manner.
That'll come out in the
right, but we're not. We need to be aware that that's going to happen. That's not. We didn't go. Oops. We did it again.
Right.
Yeah. There's. I could be wrong, but I don't think I'm going to be wrong on this. I think I know how it's going to end up, and it's going to end up right here in front of us. And so we just look ahead of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, we've started it. You don't have it yet. You will. We'll have something in front of you.
The stripes are appropriate for his shirt.
Yeah.
A different color. What's the state of Washington stripe?
I think orange and black, aren't they?
Or Charlie Brown.
And you won't even have to go far. It's just across the freeway.
They don't have to run across the freeway.
The family can visit you whenever you need to.
Three square meals a day.
Not as many worries. You don't have to put up with us.
All the television you can watch. It's excellent.
I love it.
I'm thinking about
I'll
myself.
Send you some
shortbread. Oh,
man, Bubba.
All right, let's go.
Okay, that's it.
Sorry.
You're killing me.
Next issue. This is something that I think everyone already knows this, but Navlocks, three Navlocks on Columbia and Snake go out of service tomorrow.
Yeah. And two of them for extended periods of time.
Yeah, for a three-month gate replacement. Yeah. So, just since that's happening tomorrow and it's big news, just a reminder.
And you guys do have a website link for information if people want to go to it on your Walla Walla website.
Nice. All right. Yep. Research updates. Anything from you?
Nothing specifically. I did want to get folks a heads up that I'm going to be putting together some change forms and writing those through Tammy on, not change forms, coordination forms for all the lamp race studies that are going on, like especially at Bonneville this winter, and for minor modifications for lamp race. So that's going to be coming down the pipeline in the next couple of weeks. I can get into the details of some of those right now. But
no.
Yeah.
Form's fine.
At one point, I saw, and then I think it's also mentioned, but is there plans to do summer and bring the new work that you were on there?
Yeah, one of the studies this year is doing video work behind the picket leads at all of the bell stations at the Dallas and Chelsea.
Thanks. Any RCC update?
No.
Low forecast?
We just have a position open there, so just for people to know.
That's right. It was the same one that was advertised before. There were some hiccups.
Which is your old position?
My old position, that's correct.
Okay.
Don't you have one too?
Yeah, and I actually have an internship on the streets right now for 2 weeks. It's a GS-911 hatchery and Willamette biop stuff. So.
Oh, Lord.
So hatchery you guys and Willamette biop.
It's a tar baby.
Wow. Touch. Whip in post. Take the heat off, burn.
Sorry, Bert.
Okay, one quick last update, and more of an action item for next month. Is that plan to have Jerry McCann was going to come from Fish Passage Center to talk about fry handling and criteria that we handle for smolt monitoring program condition and how to make sure just whether or not to include it. And
yeah, I know. Friends said a couple of things about that.
Only a couple?
Yeah, well, every time he gets a chance, he talks to me. So
we'll put that to bed so that it's not continually doing this.
Where's my button?
Well, I guess the question is, I mean, and we'll come to just, do we do things site-specific or do we do things standardization for the whole system?
Yeah, we should standardize it.
The goal is a smart idea.
Yeah.
So we don't need to talk about it now, but it will be on the agenda next month, as well as a lamprey condition monitoring. Yeah. Potentially as a pilot study at John Day, and we can get into that next month.
Okay.
But
yep, next month's going to be busy.
Is it always?
No, the FPP is a
there
separate.
It's a separate.
So we're not going to talk about that.
When
I don't even have that meeting.
It's the 23rd.
January.
Yeah. Okay.
That one is. But when's
It's on the back of your. It's number 11. You can see the upcoming meeting dates.
The FPOM meeting for January is
the 13th. I got it here.
Second
what day?
Thursday.
Oh, I do have it. It's
13th?
Yeah,
13th. So when's the
funded proposal
FPP
got
meeting?
Moved to, and then that's 21st.
21st.
Here.
Oh, yeah, okay, I've already got that. How about that?
We're good.
You can look in your agenda under 11 or some upcoming.
Too many meetings.
Okay, let's get into number 5, coordination and notification forms. I'm going to add 5.2 is the Bonneville MFR.
So the first one is just the Tainergate notification. Since it happened between the two FPOM meetings, it's on there. You can see all the correspondence, but it's all done and taken care of. That's it.
Okay. 5.2 is the Bonneville mortality memo at the Washington Shore during the dewatering of the ladder last week.
Yep.
Oops. Yeah, no enforcement will be showing up shortly.
Mr. Houseman's down there. You can have a direct line to him.
I got a shirt you can borrow. Yes.
I might have to defer to Tammy for some of this because I didn't see it, per se.
Aha, who's out there?
Tammy was in charge. I knew.
There we go. I knew there was.
Was she there?
Aha. No, what, I think the biggest issue we had was we took both ladders down at the same time, Washington Shore and Cascades Island. So we had folks split on both. And we had, I think when we went in there, because they were tied together to UMT and we were holding more water in there than normal, we had more fish that we had to push at the top. And probably, you know, the numbers are on the weekly report, but there was probably 75 or so salmonids up top of Washington Shore that we handled.
75?
And pushed.
Yeah. Wow.
Significantly more.
Yeah.
So.
A lot of fish.
Yeah, and it was a matter of, you know, we put our tank down in the ladder, and it's always a little bit of a guessing game where you're, can we fit all these in one load of the tank? Do we have to split them, you know, keep watered up so you can go dump your tank and do it again. So I think either we got more fish in the tank at a time than we should have had, or, you know, those fish were in not enough water up top.
Because that's what I gathered from the report I saw, was that they died in a shallow water situation with not enough oxygen, not enough water.
And I don't think
not one at a time, but all at once in a mass.
Well, then when they got down to the ground, they said, like, oops.
The reports were when they got dumped out of the tank into the tailwind.
So that's, okay. So they weren't all like in a pool, looking like, oops, and they're all dead.
No, they found them when they had
problems. That's
where the tank was over full.
Not a toxin.
Yeah, not a.
So as the process went on, with that many fish out, 10 died.
Yeah.
Or 8 to 10, whatever it turned out to be. Yeah. Mostly coho, one steelhead, one chinook, late chinook.
Yes.
Which we get. So.
And our solution to the problem is we're just not going to use both those ladders at the same time.
Okay, I didn't see that. There wasn't anything like that written up in the notice I saw. So let's make sure that solution is not only in there, but also in the dewatering plan.
Yeah, we were making notes this week, actually, just on what we're going to do differently. And the next time we're going to go the cascade, separate them with the bulkhead so you don't
Okay.
the water to the level you want. Yeah. If we can drop the water to a true orifice flow, those fish move out and don't have that issue up there. So
Let's we get more fish now than we've had in the past. I mean, that's what's going on, I think, here. But, you know, it's kind of... It's tough because you look at, well, geez, how many years have these guys been doing this? You know, we shouldn't be seeing mortalities by 10 fish. That's a lot of fish. So that's raising eyebrows. You got people paying attention, you know, because of Dvorak and everything else, everybody's looking at these things. So let's make sure that we do a after action on this that really identifies remedial actions and you know, the process to get it into the fish pad, or into the extra action would go into the
dewatering
plans, and then we're done. But let's have that path, that paper trail.
Is there any way to add water if you see you need it once you put the bulkheads in?
Yeah, and we did. And this wasn't, like I was telling Gary, it wasn't like these fish were on concrete, and we're like, oh, how'd that
happen?
It was more, you know, these guys are moving fish, and you're trying to guess.
Also, it didn't have the
tank. Well, it's when they released the tank at the boat ramp. That's when
they just couldn't get to revive them when they went. Some reason, maybe revive them, but they couldn't get
them.
Updating the water protocols
down the hill.
You just don't have enough oxygen.
Just moving too many fish. So that may be happening, you know, as we get more and more fish
sure.
surviving. It's a good thing. so
just don't let go.
As we reach recovery,
we're gonna go kill more fish.
I guess
these things are gonna come up more and more.
Soon there's always gonna be a lot of fish. Whatever you do, anything.
Just gotta assume it.
Assume there's gonna be a lot of fish.
You guys have the action. You just need to write up remedial, whatever it is, and whatever you plan to do, and then make sure it's memorialized in the plan so that we can look at it. And then if it happens again, you're going to come out.
You get put on the stretcher.
That's where the stripes come.
Tim, you guys are sure it's pretty.
There were a lot of fish in MT, too.
Number six. Might as well just talk about that one.
We have a 5.3.
You do?
Oh, no.
The Ice Harbor.
Oh, I put that at the end.
Oh.
Oh, it's already.
Go ahead.
What is
Ice Harbor?
Greg? Ice Harbor.
This was the one that we added.
Ladder outage.
It's a ladder outage. Double ladder outage. Before I get dark.
Okay, well, if you're doing double, you're assume there's a lot of fish and do it.
We're going to assume.
One at a time.
Yeah.
One at a time.
One ladder's out. Well, the New Shores ladder out is going to be scheduled out of service, of course, during the 3rd to the 14th of January. But the problem that we've encountered here, we need inspection of the lower end of the ladder. And the crane that operates the bulkheads, that place does not operate at all, period. So, divers are actually scheduled to be working at on the South Shore ladder and doing that work at the same, you know, doing work in the South Shore at that period of time, between 18 and 25th February. For one day during that period of time, we'd like to take the North Shore ladder out of service so we can look at. Let's send the divers over there to take them, have them take a look at the diffusers in the lower end of the ladder. What they'll do is just slow down the, you know, go down to Orvis flow, and that's about it, so they can get into it. And this is all going to be done during the regular winter maintenance period of ladders. So,
do you know roughly
when? It's just going to be a short period of time of work, 8 hours at the most. But it's work that needs to be done. I mean, we need to inspect the
last. Like in the last week of January?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the 25th, 27th, something like that.
Earlier would be better, but there aren't that many seal up that room around that time. It should be okay.
But that's what it is. That's the only reason I'm saying for a double letter out. It's just a
one day.
Just
it's
one
day.
For one day or so, that's fine.
Yeah, no more than 8 hours. So
no
it's not even 24 hours.
Hours.
It's just long enough for the divers to do a visual inspection.
Right. That's all.
Well, wasn't
for
what
were the dates on the outages again?
Outage of the North Shore ladder between is the 3rd to the 14th of January. South Shore, 18th January to 25th February.
Okay.
I just received this form this morning. We'll send it out.
Okay.
Everybody is normal.
Yeah.
Just make sure you get all your stuff in a row beforehand. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, just make sure you get everything ready beforehand so you can just go in, boom, get it, knock it out.
Yeah, bang, 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 bang.
That'd be great.
Great. Any more notification form update, coordination form updates? Okay, we'll go to Bonneville ADMBS, debris boom. Looking to replace their log boom with a tough boom and want to talk about the debris curtain or screens that hang from it.
I did not have an attachment in the agenda I got.
Yeah.
I don't think I did. I didn't. I thought I printed everything out. And didn't see one.
It was a PDF.
A separate one.
It was a 300-foot tough boom, I think, was the title of it. Okay, well, I can send it back out. But basically, the question is they want to do, instead of the log booms, they want to do tough booms. And in front of the AWS intakes, it makes sense to put a debris screen, but in front of the exits, you may not want a 2 foot or 1 foot debris screen. So,
are there debris screens on the existing log booms now?
No.
How big? What diameter do you have on them?
On the logs? I don't know. Are those logs like yay big?
Yeah.
I guess I would be concerned about shad piling up, as we've seen in other locations.
On day, yeah.
Yeah.
That and they don't have to do a debris screen. We just wanted.
It'd be good to do, but I worry about. I don't think adult salmon will have a problem with it, but adult shad might, and then we'll pile up a bunch of shad.
Would you see the problem if it's occurring?
Well, you would, yeah, with shad.
And can you unbolt the debris screen later?
Probably not.
Not right away, but
you'd have to probably shut down the ladder, knowing all the safety issues.
That would give us a new spot for the fishery.
A new spot, yeah.
Are you trying to make a fisheries at Bonneville for shad?
Perfect. As far as Bob's concerned, anybody else can have it.
It's
not you so the core is suggesting a lamprey and a shad location for fishing at. Okay, good.
The chair does not recognize a worm guy.
Worm guy?
Great. Worm. Paint that with a...
Yeah, there you go.
Add that's a fouling.
They could put add a fouling there.
A foul release coating.
Yes.
But it worth be putting a tough boom with this on it at the Dells?
We can just do the tough boom without the debris screen. That's fine. Well, for the AWS...
What we have now is logs. And they don't have anything hanging below.
No.
We see some debris get on there. The exit at Washington Shore is mostly little stuff. Although we did
there are some plywood to get on
there. Sheets of plywood.
Yeah, we do.
We're actually having to float trash.
Washington Shore is not
off the fish valve trash racks.
And some dimensional lumber.
Not
well, that one, those are okay. Yeah, we can do whatever you want to do there.
Fish but that's the same boom, you know, I mean, they're protected by the same.
We're recycling.
But when I talked to Brian, you could do half of that section with debris screen.
Something else, okay.
And not all of it with debris screen. So, like 100 feet in front of the fish exit does not have to have debris screen if you guys are uncomfortable with that, and that's fine. The section in front of the AWS.
That's there's no problem there.
Yeah, definitely do that.
2 footer.
Which AWS are we talking about?
All
which
of them.
Ones?
All of them.
But, I mean,
so, spillway. Washington Shore put about 4 or 5 feet in.
Now we're Bradford and fish valve.
Catch the sheets of plywood?
Exactly. 1-1.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I need to build a shed. So,
so you'd have something out there in front of 1-1. That would
yeah, there's a log boom there now that goes to the powerhouse.
There is, yeah, that's right. Yeah, so there's no issue there, and I don't see that as an issue at all.
So 3.9 and 3.7 would also have the logs.
And 3.9 and 3.7, yeah, but you're getting close to the ladder exit, so you gotta just.
So it would only be part of that log boom that would have the debris screen that's in front of the AWSs, and then the section to the.
Yeah, I think you gotta go that way. I mean, like Scott said, you could try it, if, but you'd wanna be able to take it out if you saw a proper shed building up in there and going around in circles.
I don't think it's an issue to. Break it up into sections.
Okay. Okay. All right, so we will go ahead and install a tough boom with 2 foot screen below it for the AWS intakes. And
if you could put one of those by a
and not put
tribal fishing location.
Just keep the debris up there.
And the shad. We'll get our
okay, I'm
going to
go ahead and you want to talk about your turbine descaling, ops descaling at P2?
So,
P2,
the question, I mean? This came up yesterday at TMT. There was much happy, glad handing about our delightful SOR, how we dealt with descaling at Bonneville by going to low, to mid and lower end of 1% operation at P2 to decrease descaling we saw on basically some Chinook sockeye and others last year. The question is, and I kind of look at Gary for this, should we try to immortalize this a little more firmly, since we're not going to get anything done at Bonneville till like 2012-14, to maybe put a criteria in the FPP mm-hmm. saying if we see descaling go up at B2 to like, we can come up with some threshold like 5-6% or 4% above background, whatever we want to say, and then at that point we'll run, we'll basically change turbine loading at B2 down to the mid one.
I think we should start the season with it and stay there.
Okay.
I mean, that's the first thing you throw out, and I know that's an issue, but when you have research and experience saying that there's a problem waiting for it to show up, it just says you got to kill fish first.
And we already plan on doing that. It's when you get to where you, there's no other turbines to turn on. Then
we have to come up with a plan to ramp back up again.
Right.
That's right.
Okay. Because you're bumping up against your gas criteria
yeah.
and your bad damage
conditions.
And then
it's which units and less used units, and we can come up with that kind of criteria.
So I guess the question is, do you want a change form from us, or is this something you guys are going to put in?
It's fish protective.
And
it's not,
yeah,
it's not BPA's responsibility. So
no, I wasn't saying that. I was saying, is the Corps going to put one in the draft?
It's not the Corps' responsibility. It is the Corps' responsibility.
Yeah, I'm just saying, all right, is the Corps going to put one in there, or are you going to be looking at someone else, i.e. probably the worm, to, right, you said, change form?
Nailed it.
Yeah, that's what
you have been tasked with that.
Lovely.
We look for your recommendations.
Well, good. I get to make all kinds of fun ones then.
Yeah, well, that'll be a straw man. With
yeah, I know.
So you will.
So it'll be
put
due
together.
The 20th of December.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Because I've also got.
Regional change forms or.
Oh, it works 20? Well. So far we've done, what, this
yeah.
almost the third year?
Yeah, 3 years.
Yeah. I just like, I mean, because TMT was talking about, I'm dealing, that just seems like a. Not that I'm saying TMT is antiquated or
archaic or something. I'm just saying, it seems like
it
would be a much change hat. I think it would be much more streamlined just having the FPP.
It's absolutely fine to put it there. It's just, we need to consider this is a better water unit we've had in the last three.
Yeah.
And so those upper end conditions that we have avoided so far,
we may
are most likely to
bump
into. Yeah. Right. So.
That's fine.
Well, that's fine. We got to make what's the trade-offs and what are the
exactly
right. Yeah, that's the consideration of do you outside 1% for powerhouse.
Yeah, we don't want to wait until it happens.
I just wanted to throw this out to give you guys a heads up before I put together a change form and copy poll. Surprise.
Cool. You're gonna do it,
Dave Mills. What do you have to say? Let me hear it.
The later. The operating range of the P2 turbines are, I think,
11 to 17,
something like that.
Yeah, thereabouts.
So the midpoint and lower depends on the head, doesn't it?
Head, tailwater.
Yeah. Head and the tailwater.
Yeah, it doesn't vary that much.
Though. Okay. So is it a linear interpolation of the 11 to 17? So are we talking
15?
Yeah. So 14, something like that.
14. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was figuring about.
Yeah, 14. And Barry, 14. Gary has some concerns about being at the bottom on all the units, and so
right. I don't think we're at the bottom. I think mid's fine.
Right. We'll learn more next week on that, but we may come back with some ahas on that one on that trip.
That's what I wasn't going to write to it. Yes, we came back. Yeah.
But you have a choice. You don't load everyone at the bottom. You load them all mid.
Mid. Yep.
Right.
Yep. And then we may have to go bump up if we get any gas issues and all the other things.
Bump up like 17, 18 first,
correct. Pick which units. You may not want to do in the unit priority. You may
probably
want to
do the inverse.
Yep.
Correct.
Yeah, inverse.
So that's fine.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Okay, so we'll see that change form before the 20th.
Skippy dippy. I'll have a couple others for you.
Okay, 8.3 is the Bonneville slow roll. We have already had that task group. We've completed it. Is it okay if we just take...
I don't know if it formalizes this.
Mission accomplished.
Sounds good with it.
Thank you, Mr.
President. But since we're taking the Bonneville slow roll off,
we'd
like to start a sturgeon task group and chair it.
So
to talk about issues in dewatering and sturgeon issues in the Bonneville ladders.
In the ladders?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're getting hundreds and hundreds a year.
So we just had a brief conversation, but, I mean, it is an issue, and maybe we should start looking at it through the FFU or...
We're thinking of a better way to dewater, a better way to handle.
When they come in, do they come in when we start dewatering, or, what's...
Stop.
Well, that's why they're in.
Is it sea lions?
That's what I mean.
We're just talking, but just want you guys to be aware that this might be a task group that we want to set up.
I did have one other issue. When you're ready, you can have whatever.
I'm ready.
We've heard some interesting comments about possible issues of transportation, i.e. low channel depths and that kind of stuff, at the end of your TMT. We're getting some calls from the bargers. Is the Corps going to do anything about dredging? Since I figure FPOM is more a dredging group than TMT, I figure this would become much
like,
more.
That's item 10.2.
Is that 10.2?
Well, we have to maintain a
higher amount. There, well, I guess you're going to get to it. Never mind. I didn't see potential change forms.
Any other issues besides that?
I guess... there might be some pushback about that.
About dredging?
No, dredging, I think it solves the problem.
It's a mop.
You raise it, you get the cross-section that you're looking for.
Yeah. Well, I'll wait and see what the change form says, because the issue was presented at TMT very different than a Snake River problem. Yeah. It was presented as a harbor problem at Lewiston.
Oh, really?
Really? Well, that's what called it.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't presented that way.
They've talked to it as well.
Let's get into our change forms to review.
And let me just throw this too. If this higher MOP is necessary because of safety issues, then I want to see that clearly explained in the change form, that the Corps feels this is a health and public safety issue in the main channel of the Snake.
Well, still, it's main channel. It should be dredged.
Right. But I'm talking about separate from
the port.
The barge loading dock and the
cruise ship
dock.
Where does their authority end? Do you know?
Cruise authority.
The Corps to maintain a channel.
I was told it didn't include the docks.
Did not.
port of the docks are there.
That's what I've been told.
Okay, that's why you're concerned.
Now, yeah. If that's incorrect, I'll be happy to be corrected. But
and we'll find out exactly what our authority is.
I know there's a lot of political pressure on this, but I'm not going to approve a change form that says, yeah, go out and mop so that they can have better cruises. It's not going to happen.
Well, if there's a reason for it, that makes sense. But if the issue is they just have not gotten around to dredging their facilities, then
that's what I'm talking
about.
That's
a different color. That's a different stripe, as it were.
No about stripes.
Yeah. Different band on your worm.
Exactly.
All right. Can we go through these change forms?
Prison blue. Like prison
oil. Did you guys want to do 9-13 first? Because I got to get one out of these.
9-13. Change form.
Did you want something on the shed?
ITS printer operations.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. No, I think
you're. You want something on the shed test group?
Oh, shit.
Was there anything for that?
Oh, yeah,
shit.
Sorry.
We don't care about you. Come on, Mr. President, what you got for us?
I forgot.
Hey, Mr. President, what you got?
I summarized what we had from the task group, the data, and I just put it into a kind of a simpler conclusion / bullet form. And that should be on the agenda, I assume.
It is. It's in there.
One of the things I wanted to point out on there was there was a question about ESA take / mortality, and I just summarized the 2 days of fishing last year. So if fallback is considered take,
it is.
Then
it is.
Then if that could be applied to mortality, we would be talking for 2 days of fishing, 100 fish that would then be subtracted from harvest. 100 Chinook subtracted from harvest. Does that make sense?
If it's a 1-to-1, yeah. Because you had 100 fallbacks, basically, in 2 days.
It's got my vote.
So how many did they harvest this year?
I don't know the interpretation that way, but take definition of take is harass, harm, and harassment. Driving the fish back down the ladder is harassment.
So it was suggested that if we could apply a mortality number to the fishery and subtract that from the tribal harvest...
You should take that back.
That's the number.
Well, okay. Well, that sounds good to me.
Send me an email and I'll forward that on.
I guess
I'll be doing that electronically when I pass that on.
Yeah, come on, guys.
From a bunker.
Yeah, they might. Yeah, it may not be an issue.
Fall.
This would be.
Really?
Well, it's the summer.
This is not. I mean, this is ESA. I mean, that's we need to say on this, not them. So.
Yeah. No.
Well. Are you?
Well, I just want to clarify because I don't know. I thought that the harvest limits were established based on the impacts to listed fish, not on the number of fish that were caught by the tribal fishermen specifically. So these would be impacts to listed Snake River fish and
issues.
Other things.
All the issues.
So when you say you're going to subtract 100 fish, I'm not sure what you're taking that number from or how you're going to relate that to anything.
Well, there's allowed take.
There's allowed harvest.
There is allowed take. I mean, there's
there?
A take statement.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
But I don't know, I don't know the details of it, so I don't have the numbers.
Debate over it, I'm sure.
But there is allowed take. It's enumerated. You're right. I mean, if it's percentage or is it a number? Exactly.
What's the percent on the run?
There is, an incidental take statement
I can
associated with harvest.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how you accredit or decredit, whatever the word is, this, I don't know. I don't know that it matters. I mean, I'm okay with those guys going in. If they don't trip our criteria, which they don't seem to be very good at not being able to do these days.
Right.
They go in for 2 days and they're out. They go in for 2 days and they're out. And eventually they're going to get tired of doing it because somebody's going to want to buy the fish. And then we'll get around to actually doing something that will facilitate a shad fishery. But I was really worried about that when I went to the meeting, and after listening to Roger talk about, we'll adhere to the criteria, then I thought, well, fine. If that's what they're going to do, then I'm done. End of story. I don't like them in there any more than you do. And we set criteria for them, and as long as they don't exceed that, I guess we're okay with it. I wish we had a better way. Yeah, exactly. So I don't like the situation, but we need to make sure that we monitor really well. And, you know.
But I think then the thought from their side is that they'll go in with the same methods they used last year.
Well, they're going to try that. They're going to try the L-net.
The criteria.
They'll try the L-net and hopefully get it set better this time than they did last year.
If they have 100 fish take, then they're going to go longer. They're going to get the criteria.
Yeah, plus. I'd rather stick with the criteria. They're done in 2 days.
Yeah, they agreed to that.
I think they agreed to that.
They wanted to look at both. We'll take that.
Yeah.
I know. I wish there was limits, upper limit. Because if they're skimming along the bottom of the criteria, they could essentially take a lot of fish before they finally trip. Or not trip the hook.
Well, okay. Yeah, and I agree because my point, which I think I was trying to make, is these 100 fish. You don't know what percentage of those are listed that would be counted against the impact. So you're defaulting that these are all listed.
No, we wouldn't be able to do that.
They're doing the same way you do harvest. It's like this 100 fish.
A participant has joined the conference.
Oh, really? No, it's the same way you do harvest. I mean, they assume, they look at the runs and that kind of stuff, abundance, and they proportion. And they may say, it's like, this is what we think, so you can take this many fish. So the 100 fish would be against what they're allowed to take for the summer season. So it's the total take. Okay. Now, if you wanted to be anal, they could go through, like, we'll take each fish and say, none of these are wild, so we can take more. I mean, I don't think we want to get in that game. Because that would be silly.
But that just gives you an idea of the numbers we're looking at, so.
And more than likely, the March meeting will be the 10th after FPOM. There'll be another task meeting.
Oh, good. I'm in March.
Yeah. So we'll get Roger back down here.
Yep.
Okay.
Sounds reasonable.
Sorry, Bob. I totally forgot about the shad.
No, you didn't.
About the AFF. That's after. The AFF will be a task meeting after this meeting. So let's get into the fish pass exchange forms. Sean, we're going to bump you up to the number one here so you can take off.
Yeah, thanks.
You're just removing this change form, is what you're saying, Thomas?
9.13. Waste and trash.
December what day now?
Ops.
What's this one? I used some trash. These were winter ops to Dallas. It didn't happen, so it's pretty easy.
And somebody just joined us on the phone?
Yeah, this is John Whitaker. I was just kind of checking to see where you guys were at and if you had an estimated time for the AFF meeting.
After lunch.
After lunch, so 1 o'clock?
1 o'clock.
You want to say 1 o'clock or 12:30?
Or 12:30. I think we can do it 12:30.
12:30, okay.
12:30.
I'll see you guys then.
Thanks. Alrighty. Is Jeff coming with you?
And a participant has left the conference.
Never mind. It's like talking with my family.
Poor life of the worm.
Yes. That's why I'm the worm. I'm the lowest ring of evolution at my family.
Spineless and below the ground.
Exactly. That's
all right.
Just like work. Work at home.
Some chocolate and candy. And
dig in.
Bust this thing through.
Get business taken care of.
Speed it up.
So what do we got, Sean?
All right, what we got here is more or less a placeholder right now.
Do you want to put the FFU change forms on the overhead and go through them?
That would be no.
I'm taking that. Wow, I recognize that look from home, too. This is great.
Hey, Gary, can we hook this thing up? Easily in focus and just go through our change forms?
You can't plug it into your machine.
That's the question. Does your machine work with it or not?
Well, it should.
Last time Doug tried to do it, he sent the alarm.
You can plug right into it.
I got in trouble.
You got in serious trouble.
That was different. He was trying to plug into our LAN system.
Not just the
remote. Don't do that.
No, through the NOAA folks.
No cap, three,
cap five. Somebody else.
Just plug in like any other.
Are we headed to now?
Change forms.
Okay, there's put them up there.
I guess what I'm trying to
have a projector.
On the other side.
Hey, Doug. That's why this is.
Hey, you darn it.
Is your head okay?
Well, I think
for this, what they do is they push. Say, if we have, if you have, say, like 50 fallbacks, we're taking 50 fallbacks, and say those were takes, and that'll be 50 off your harvestable amount. So say we're allowed to harvest 12,000 fish. We've now subtracted. Now you're down. You've done 50 fallbacks. Now you're down to 11,550.
You're just going to take them off as a number.
Yeah, and that might well kill the
fish. Fishers, because they might be going, what the? I don't even get the fish in hand. You're going to say it's a take against my harvest, and I don't get another fish in my hand?
Wait a minute. That's a conservative. They'll probably fight back on that.
All I have to do is just say yes.
We want to do it by you. It's
not butter.
Unless
they'll eat a lot.
Then you have to assume that.
Who is?
Geoengineered fish in the Columbia is composed of this percentage of this percentage of that.
If I was that much, I'd say, hey, I always fall back. These aren't all going to mortality. Let's say like half of them would be impacted and then be like half. That I think that would be a much more equitable way to go about it. And not try to play the game of, well, we think there's 15% of this ESU in this and there's 12% of this ESU.
They're both games.
Oh, you think? But I feel like I think it's...
So where are you?
Try those little, like,
the shortbread things?
Oh, yeah.
I know, they're very good. Don't take them from me.
Well, the not that your other things aren't good either.
The fudge is good, but holy Christ, I think you need more sugar in those things. Tell me you're using agave sugar so I can feel a little better about myself.
I use the all natural,
non
sugar.
There you go. So, have another.
I'll have to sample
that's
some
why
more.
They're all a little darker.
Some more bread and fat.
Now everybody's talking about it.
Oh, you haven't tried one of those?
No,
it's delicious.
Always go for it.
So, Tom, let's talk about having a barbecue game picnic in the summer.
I'll bring my kids.
I mean, I guess you guys used to do that. I think that'd be great to do it again.
Let's go start some food.
Well, yeah, apparently you guys used to do this game. Wild game. Dead animals.
That's because Hurston was from Alaska and fishing a lot, and Cal actually caught, and Cal was a big hunter, so we always had caribou.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
So the core guys were responsible for...
Pretty much, because they're the only ones
that hunt. I don't hunt.
They're the ones that hunt every time.
I can make some kick-ass rice bowls.
Oh. That'll work. I can bring venison.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. You guys
are we doing change forms next?
Just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Midway up
I've got crapwoods of halibut, so. Yeah, I was going to say, oh, nice. I was about to go there.
I was hoping you guys were going to go there.
That was your own guy. I mean, didn't even have to come.
The funny thing is, after all those fish were donated to food banks, there were reports of pit tag detectors going off up and down the river.
Right.
Okay, so that's why I feed the goats. I always wanted to know.
I think we can probably talk about this.
Down at dinner, huh?
This morning, but,
well, we a lot of it because it's not going to happen.
It's only been a couple of days. Well, yeah.
It's a placeholder, like I said right now.
Which one are we talking about?
We're talking about the icy trash sluice way operations for the winter time at the Dalles.
So in the change form is basically...
The blue one?
Blue should be blue.
Do I need to do the black one too?
Shouldn't. Just have to be the blue is all you need.
I don't see it on all those.
And did you put the one in the right blue one?
Well, it only sticks in one of them.
You sure? The other one looks like the same size.
One's an indent and one's
so you work on that, Tammy, and let's talk about the change form.
You can turn it upside down.
I don't think it's going to work.
That's fine.
An indent and an outdent.
We're not allowed to buy one.
It's a man.
And you can't have a thumb drive.
Not indent or outdent.
Excuse me, politically correct, I guess.
No, kid. Just the cable. Well, the cable should be fine.
All right, well, if you guys want to get some lunch and get back here by 12:30, let's get moving.
I don't think
so. It's not going to work.
Okay. Other people have done it, but they use their own cables, and it does work.
Yeah, we have one in Diane. Okay, once again, let's get it going.
Get it going.
All right.
So, change form is for operating the sluiceway of the Dalles from December 1st to the 15th, and then starting it up again March 1st. Discussions at the that November 2nd special bidder rig that some of the folks in this room participated in. At that meeting, the group kind of tentatively agreed that although the last 2 years of hydro acoustic data that we had didn't maybe directly answer some of the questions that we had about benefits of operating the sluiceway for fallbacks and kilts, that it was probably a good idea to tentatively operate it as or according to what the this year's study plan was, which was the monitoring from December 1st to the 15th, and then shutting the sluiceway down, and then opening it back up March 1st, and. As some of you are aware, there was some discussion last week during AFEP back and forth. We backing up on November 2nd at that meeting, BPA was going to go back at using some math that Gary had come up with in terms of some credits toward Beaver and Steelhead survival improvements and see if they could get buy-off from management. Back home, and Gary had discussed the possibility of going back and maybe refining his estimates in terms of the benefits for Steelhead. And all of us had kind of kicked that stuff around for about a month, and we were trying to all make this decision last minute and for December 1st operation, and things kind of fell apart at the last minute. So what we're trying to do here, lessons learned, is to avoid the same kind of thing from happening come March 1st. So my main goal today was to try to work out in this group a path forward so that, you know, well more than a day in advance that we're making a decision on March 1st operations.
It's currently the default is April 1st.
Currently the default per the fish pass
is
April 1st. So I can tell you that one of the things I'm going to be doing between now and then is, you know, doing my own analysis, and the Corps is going to produce some sort of white paper memo on kind of our position on the benefits of operating it, yay or nay. So
you are.
I know the Corps in Bonneville, the action agency, will come out with a position.
Hmm?
It'll be an action agency position.
So that's where we're at.
But it does hinge on the credit that will be given.
So what is this position going to be entailing? I mean, what are you coming up with? How are you going to get
I'm probably basically going to be revisiting in terms of, and we haven't, none of us have had time to really digest all this, but I'm going to be revisiting what you've put together and hopefully working with you.
Well, everything I have is from a year or two ago, so I haven't put out anything new yet. And other than the analysis that I did in-house, which I gave up on after looking at the numbers, it just doesn't pencil out. I'm not lying. You know, I mean, when I saw it, I got down to 0.25%, and then I could chop that in half, and I could chop it in half again, and I'm down to next to nothing in terms of percentages of Beaver and Steelhead with the analysis that I have using University of Idaho's numbers from Kiefer's reports. So, you know, we have to look at, is there any other, you know, those are older data, those are decade-old studies, but I don't know if the percentages change. You know, it's just the numbers of fish. I can convert that to numbers of fish, and tack two that I was going to take, which I didn't, was to approach it from the conversion rate issue, which is how our performance standards for adult passage are determined, and that's conversion from Bonneville through Lower Granite. So we're not meeting that performance standard at this time for steelhead. So
there might be a carrot there.
This would probably be the stronger approach. You know, that's a more general, that doesn't take us to the specific BRUT. I mean, that's not tied to BRUT at all. That's a totally different, let's just say, a steelhead conversion rates from one to the other, right, which is still a standard you're held to. It's still numbers, but it's a different number. So, you know, that's looking at it from that way. I mean, I think all of us believe it's the right thing to do. We see, you know, we don't doubt the numbers of fish that are being seen. I'm not seeing anybody doubt Fenton's work.
That's one of my concerns here, is that, you know, having inherited this project, this study had been done 2 years. You know, it was slightly changed for the second year to answer some questions. And what's confusing to me is I want to make sure that when this group and SRWG, you know, was going through the study design and everything, you know, what was the consensus on decision points and how this data was going to be used to make operations decisions? And are we changing the yardstick of what was going to determine the operation? I mean, I see some problems or I see some ambiguities in the data, in that, you know, as soon as December 15th rolled around and we shut it down this year, whoa, you know, passage, that fallback stopped altogether, you know, for a month or whatever. And so I can see different ways of interpreting the data relative to the fish behavior. But if it was, my understanding from Langsley and from Clugston was that the intent was just to look at relative use of the sluiceway during these different periods. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of fish using it.
Right.
And
that was the intent.
So I'm wondering what your takes are.
I mean, you can't, well, and I mean, it's going to be one of those things where you can take, you can say what your intent was and you can say what your take is, but if this take is different, then we're at odds. So, I mean, you know, that BPA can say, well, those fish wouldn't fall back but for the sluiceway. I can point out that University of Idaho data would suggest that they
something
do fall
different.
Back.
Exactly.
Regardless. But, you know, reality is we don't know what would happen for the whole season if the sluiceway was closed, which is why I asked, you know, if we could get that study going this year in December, we could get a look at that.
Good.
And for March, if we don't get the sluiceway open, we at least need to answer the question of whether these fish would fall back through turbids anyway.
You're talking about firing up the transducers.
Right.
Correct. Which are in place right now.
Right.
But there's also not a lot of money to...
No, there's cables that, you know, right, according to Fenton, the transducers are there, the cables are not, so they have to cable them. It takes money, divers, time, effort, weeks, 2 weeks,
right,
to get everything going, and dollars.
Yeah, golly.
To do it. So, that... But if the response from BPA is that they may not use it anyway, we have to answer that question. So I don't want to sit here and say, well, okay, gee, that's a good question, we won't do it. That's not our good response.
You're talking about slightly different issues in March versus December, and the fallbacks versus kilts.
No, I'm not.
Well, I am.
Okay, but I'm not. They're the same issue.
In late March. Well, okay.
It's the same issue. The majority of the fallback that University of Idaho saw was actually in November and then again and later in the season. So they felt that a lot of those fish falling back in March were actually fish that were re-energizing, moving the system.
Most of them. Yeah.
And they were, you know, they were pre-spawn adult steelhead. And there's the kelt issue, which becomes even more difficult when I start thinking about trying to get kelt credit, because that wasn't in my thinking from December, but it does come in for March. The problem is the numbers of kelts and the survival rates for B-run fish from Idaho. And that starts to be a real stretch. It's thin.
Yep.
So there wasn't a lot of additional credit that I could come up with for that. And that's when I just did said, get it done. It's just not, I'm not going to be able to stand in front of you guys and say, by God, you got to spend a few million dollars to do this.
And that's a discussion that has to be had.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a benefit, but to put it into the credits of B-Run Steelhead and the 6% calc credit, all flat. So
again, I'm trying to just want to make sure again that we have a path forward.
Well, the path forward would be to look at the conversion rate benefits, which would help us meet our performance standards for adult steelhead. And keep in mind that the mid-Columbia, which is the Columbia between Bonneville Dam and, I don't know, McNary, I guess, that mid-Columbia adult conversion rate performance standard is based on the Snake River standard. We said in the opinion that if we can assume we meet this one, then we will, or if we meet this one, we assume that we're meeting this one. Converse is true also. If we're not meeting this one, we're assuming we're not meeting the Long River. So that's until we have more information, which we don't yet. So we can argue about we can argue about harvest, you can argue about straying rates and all the effects of that, but the bottom line is we're not making it. You know, and Sean, that's really that's your bailiwick. That was Cluxton's job, and now it's probably yours to keep an eye on that. So we can build an argument there, and I would welcome folks to take another look at the University of. I mean, I'd love to have Kiefer and folks in a room. Mm-hmm. To just sit down and talk about those numbers, because what I did was a pure. I mean, the equation was that long. I mean, it's simple. It's you start with this population, and then you divide it by this proportion, this proportion, this proportion, and pretty soon you're down to nothing really. You're down to about a sixth of a percent. And I threw it at those guys and. Eric said, well, I think he was laughing all the way out the door. So.
He had a heart.
My cell phone was like, oh, okay.
So when does the March operation start, if it started?
Sometime in March. March 1 would be the early.
Well, March 1 okay. was.
So obviously you need to have this all finished by at least February, 1st of February, because if you're going to have it in there for 2 weeks, it takes them 2 weeks to get it ready in February.
I think.
Oh, that's if we wanted to do whichever way you go. Study, if we
don't do an evaluation, then it's right.
Then it's.
I'm not going to even work on this if we don't have some agreement on what benefit triggers to do, doing it, because it's just a waste of time. And I've wasted my time on these things too much lately.
Yeah, Eric next week, and he's not going next week. Going January. Eric's the main point.
Of he's not going down to Mississippi.
He's going a little goose.
Goose.
But that's kind of late.
But I mean, I think you gotta get some idea of what's enough to trigger mm-hmm. the operation from BPA standpoint. I don't know, it's. We can keep spinning our wheels, going back and taking new bites at the apple on this thing, but I don't want to just keep coming up and saying, okay, how about this, and then no. I mean, that's the bond of a corner collector taught me that. Every time I came back to the group with a new compromised approach, I got shoved back in my face, and so I finally, and at the end of it all, it was, well, we're never going to do it anyway, so. But it was fun to watch you spin your wheels.
Oh, we got something.
I do learn.
All right. Well, there you have it.
As for the study, that idea that folks have thrown around, again, going back to that November meeting, I think it was discussed, it's a little bit slightly late in the game to be chasing down dollars, especially in this environment. And we had talked about doing, getting things ready. Fenton would go out and and test the transducers throughout the year this year, and then do whatever necessary dive work next fall so that we can have everything ready to go for another evaluation next fall / winter. That would also give us time to actually come up with a new test, something different than what we've been doing the last 2 years. It might answer specific questions that would lead to operations decisions. So we can do something in March, but I wouldn't support it, you know, spending $100,000-$200,000 on something unless we had a very concrete, specific question that we were going to answer in March.
So. Well, I think the question is very concrete and specific. I don't see that that's an issue. I don't know that it, you know, if you answer it, though, then what?
That's
kind of what you're going to do with it. I mean, it's specifically, will fish fall back with a sluice way off?
That's
the question, pure and simple, through the turbines. And if they do, then we know the mortality is real. It is being caused by that dam. It's not just fish hanging out in the forebay and then going on up the river when they want to go, and we gave them this, you know, water slide that they like to use. So now if you can answer that question, and that takes one of the big concerns that I saw, that even if you come up with a number, a negative number that says mortality, you know, the comeback I've heard is, well, maybe that isn't real. Maybe that's not true. Maybe these fish wouldn't fall back. So that, you know, I don't know if there's another question after that, another one after that, but that's a fairly large question. I know Jason's asked it.
That's been his
ask. And they're good questions to ask.
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, if you look at the University of Idaho data, Radiotech data, yeah, they fall back. But the sluice bay was open during those studies 10 years ago, too. I went back and looked at that, and it was open, maybe not as long, but it was open. So, and majority of their fish did fall back in November, and the sluice bay was open in November all those years. We closed it more recently and then had this battle about reopening it. It was more recent than that 10-year-old study. Correct. So,
it was 12 hours ago. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, you know, that's another part of it, that when I thought about having to deduct that part from my analysis, the numbers just went to zero, basically. And as I told Jason a long time ago, if I come up with that low a number, I'm not going to argue. So when I told Eric, when he called me, I said, okay.
Well, when it was zero, that's why the answer was no, don't open it. It's hard to justify the $1 million.
Yeah. And I agree. You know, it just, my analysis failed to support it. I didn't have time to go down this conversion rate issue, and I'm not sure how much.
So you'll work with Sean and Eric and get the path forward by March?
End of January, right?
End of January. For potential start in March.
Yeah, I guess. And we can come up with a conversion rate analysis that people will probably reject, but we can do it. And then the fallback will be to do some analysis through the study to look at fallback rates without a sluice way, if we feel that we can use that constructively in the next go around. But, and I mean, yeah. You guys, as far as I'm concerned, BPA demonstrated the strong willingness to do the job. You guys were actually going to open it until I failed my analysis.
Right, if your analysis was what it was going to go over.
Yeah. So I'm going with that as the fact that you guys won't just say no, 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 no matter what comes up.
Yeah.
So I think it's worth pursuing it. And, you know, we'll throw the numbers out there, and if they're not strong enough, you know, then you have to go after, you have to go to the mortality issue no matter what. So, you know, that's some research we could do. And then I think I would be prepared to do the hydroacoustic research no matter what.
Do you have the funds for that? Not right now.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm sitting down
CT tomorrow.
We'll talk about
Mike
it tomorrow.
Yeah,
you guys always have money stuck in some corner, some rat hole.
Okay, so on to the next one.
O&M.
Yeah.
Not O&M.
All right. Well, thanks, folks.
Thanks.
Can we go to 9.1 now?
This is Miro Zindel, and I'm proposing to go to those two John Day items because I have some work to do.
Yeah, we all have work to do
today.
All right, Miro. So 9.15, table John Day 5, unit priority.
What page is that? If it's yeah. Page
16, it looks like.
And it's simply an update to recognize that we have now the TSWs at John Day. The old unit priority did not include TSW consideration.
Which one is this? What's the number again? 11?
11JDA01.
01, okay.
I'm just walking to it.
So effectively speaking, we have two units priority at John Day now. One with the TSWs, while those are operating April 10th through July 20th, and then the prior unit priority without the TSWs. The old one.
Yeah, mine's black and white. I can't tell if it's really not old.
The two center sections, April 10th through July 20th and July 21st through November 30th, those are the two additions.
Right, but what's the, I don't know what the order is supposed to be.
What was the old order?
All that you had there before was March 1 through November 30th, 1 through 4 in any order, 5 through 16 in any order.
Understand, but this 5, 1, 3, 16, 14, 12, I'm trying to remember what that was based on.
That was the hydraulic shop, I guess, recommendation, which was adopted because now it splits the flow of water, of course, between the south end and the north end of the powerhouse.
I'm not going to, no. Not until, I haven't had a chance to go.
We can talk about this at Federwig, is what I suggest.
I've been too busy.
I'd bring some
Federwig
again.
Maybe on the airplane Monday, I'll spend more time on it. But
we don't have
time. I haven't gone through all these, and I'm not going to say yes. It may be okay, but I just need to focus.
As long as you're ready to discuss them by 21 January.
I will.
21 January.
Absolutely.
Easily.
This is part of my on-the-plane work for next
on
week.
On-the-plane work. Okay. So if we go to 916 then? 11JDA02, SMF dewater date.
And that one is to mitigate for this year's freezing weather, and we are proposing to move up the end of season dewatering for the SMF system from November 30th to November 15th, 2 weeks earlier, to prevent any freezing damage again in the future.
Nope. I would say I would, as the year comes by, to bring this up. I don't think I want to immortalize this to be what is, because the change form is basically saying this is what you do every year, so, or 2011. I would say this would be a special condition. If you don't think you can get the work done next year, bring it up to us next year. Don't. I would put it in the 11 form that we're going to automatically go to November 15th.
The reason we are proposing that because from operational standpoint we just sometimes don't have time to shut it down if there is a freezing forecast like this year. The first day we could assemble enough people to the water was the coldest day of the forecast, which didn't make sense, so we continued going through until the date which was pre-planned. But that already resulted for that resulted in the freezing damage.
So, Miro, what you're proposing to do is just, what's the doggone gate name? You're going to use the... The crest gate.
Yeah, we're talking the entire SMF is disconnected. We're talking here about the shoulder season of the SMF, which is for...
I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
I just, I know the season. I'm just making sure that you continue to use the bypass You're just shutting down the juvenile monitoring facility part of it.
Yeah, SMF only. We only shutting down SMF, not
so the loss
GPS.
Here, loss here is pit tags.
Yes.
Pit tag detection. That's
yeah,
the
interrogation.
Loss.
Pit tag interrogation, specifically.
So that's
how it is stated in the fish passage plan.
That's a research issue.
Yes.
And you know, it's the same thing that we've talked about with Tim and McNary. So there's another case where we would be losing those late season detections in the system. Mm-hmm. And any studies that are taking advantage of that are going to be a little bit weaker. So that's, I can't answer that question. I mean, from a facility standpoint, it makes sense. But from the loss of data standpoint, it's a big question.
Right. I just wanted to point out that this facility was not originally was not designed for freezing temperatures. It was originally designed for running only through September, and not any longer past that point. And that that date was extended subsequently because of the full flow pit tag detection capabilities.
Yeah. Well, I think Scott's going to put a detector in the bypass channel further down, like 400 CFS, 500. No problem.
Easy.
So then this issue will be moot. You agree?
You're 2023.
Yeah.
Well, from a facility standpoint, yeah, we could easily say close it down on the 15th. But yeah. Gary's right. This is a research question that
that's
needs to
be
answered.
That's the false Chinook issue.
Somewhere else.
And there's false Chinook studies that are going on now, and I'm not plugged into those, so I don't know how critical a couple of weeks in December are to that. I'd like to know that first.
If this is going to be important for the region to continue operation through the end of November, I recommend that we spend some money on redesigning the system so it is going to meet the freezing temperatures criteria, because I'm not an expert on the valves that we have, but I think it makes a difference. You know, the warm weather valves are different because they require the winterizing, you know, and then they can stay open during the winter.
If you could do an assessment of that cost...
Yeah.
That would really help because, I mean, the folks that are sitting here don't, and we're not involved in, at least I'm not involved in this any of those false Chinook studies. So,
yeah.
You know, we would want to present that damage to them to say, here's the damage if, you know, you don't, for your 2 weeks of data, here's what we're having to spend.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be good to have that.
Okay.
An estimate. I mean, just in a ballpark.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be exact.
Yeah, we can do that.
That would be good, because, and then we'll have to take this to our to the other managers that are involved in this and get some.
Well, yeah.
You know, but yeah, okay. From a facility standpoint, I understand and I agree with you. But yeah,
okay.
We don't want the system to freeze and break.
Right. Okay.
So we have some to do issues with this one.
Yeah, we will get a rough estimate how much damage we have.
Okay, and I'll talk to our folks in NOAA about the use of those data, and then the other agencies should do the same thing. Yeah.
Good. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Miro. So should we
the first year?
Try to knock some of these out, or do you guys need to take a break?
Some of the
ones that except for the detectors that we're talking
they are,
about.
They are.
All right. Well, I'm willing to go through them all.
Let's do it.
All right.
Let's do it. I reviewed some, but not all.
Okay,
this is Miro Zindel.
Have left the conference.
9.1, minimum generation. It's OVE.
Overview.
Okay.
I can comment on that.
Okay.
The recommendation there was to provide it in the overview section, since it was a good overview of all MinGen and all the projects. So generally, we don't have a lot of changes to the overview section, but this table OV-1 is a good catch-all for folks to go to find minimum generation.
And that's the information that's shown in the FOP, right? Those are the numbers. That's what it
correct.
Is.
Correct. It is consistent with that information.
It's a summary of that.
That's the first change form.
First one.
Everyone all right with that?
Fine. I'm going to find table.
The numbers, number nine. I haven't checked. The numbers are the same. They're in the FOP?
Yeah.
Then if you want to add it to the overview section, I don't have a problem with that.
Here's the table. OV? OV, okay.
Yeah.
It is important for folks to recommend that I just have to add this for red face test. For the sake of confusion in the FPP, these tables, it's important for people to remember what's in the FPP is that in the project section, that's the owner's manual version. These values are the actuals that have been field tested, and so I guess it's just important for folks to remember to avoid confusion. When you pick up your FPP and you go to Lower Granite and you look at units 1 through 3, and you see all the values in the FPP, it's important to use those that's the owner's manual. That's the specs, that's what it says at the manufacturer, but to realize that just like in the owner's manual, there's specs and there's real time. So I'm pointing that out because the concern is that we want to minimize confusion. So is that clear?
No.
It was less clear before you started.
I'm hearing is these are the specs on the nameplate of the units, but you may not be actually operating at those numbers at some point in real time.
These are the real project data.
Okay, be careful here because we specified minimum generation in the biological opinion, and those are real numbers. So,
but Gary, we've specified in the FOP these ranges because that's what's happening in the real world. You can't get to 11.2. You have to be at 12.1.
I mean, so we were changing the opinion.
It's been that way for years, and so this is just clarifying what's really been happening for years and years and years.
Violating the biological opinion for years and years and years.
You're still realizing this?
I see a lot of reasons to reopen this opinion.
You might get that. You may not have. You may be doing that already.
So are you saying these contradict what's in the biological opinion?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that you got to be careful. I'm saying one thing and then, I mean, the fish passage plan is part of the biological opinion. So, I mean, that's the updatable part of it. So as long as everybody agrees that this is acceptable, then that's fine, I think. It just has to be.
This is where
you have to reconcile
run.
That. Yeah. Sure. There should be maybe some language somewhere that reconciles that.
So would you like some clarification language?
Well, you might say something to the effect, yeah, I mean, how do you need to reconcile what the opinion says in the spill section, I think, or wherever it is. Well, it's somewhere in there.
This is the unit part, each unit. When you say 11.2, say that little goose.
This is
you
the
didn't
minimum
say which unit
for the
you were talking about. Right. But you didn't specify if the first class units or the second.
We did not. We asked you guys
first.
This question. Way
right.
back.
And so
way
this is the answer, that this is what it is when you really run
no.
there.
No, that wasn't the answer. We asked you guys this way back in 95, I think it was, or somewhere in there, in 98. No, 95.
And we're finally getting back to you.
Started.
Huh? Yeah. And we're finally getting back to you.
No. You got back to us then, and now you're changing your story. That's my concern. Now this is what we really can do. We were lying to you back then. That's fine. You can say that here.
Recorded. Accordingly, won't you?
You know, that's a little strong, but I understand.
It's a little bigger.
But, I mean, you were telling us one thing based on the understanding then. That's changed. It's evolved.
It's been documented in all the
right
FOPs
there.
Every year since then.
And that statement could be made just to clarify anybody who's sitting there, as some people do with opinion, going, minimum powerhouse operation at Ice Harbor Dam is 11.2. I look in here and I go, oh, it's 8.5.
Right.
That's interesting.
You can't go there because of cavitation, so that's why they haven't operated there.
I don't know, it's 11.2 on the plan. I think it's 9.5, actually.
Right.
But
the official river minimum can be 8.5, so you can't get there. Just like you can't run Dvorak turbine at 1.0.
Well, then let's explain that, because the opinion hasn't changed.
Right. But
I mean, the language in there hasn't changed, so that's my point.
So what would you like as far as the footnote at the bottom goes that attempts to clarify the theoretical versus actual? Is that not, I guess what I'm hearing you say is you'd like more discussion on the biop. Acknowledge there's information that says, basically cite
something to the effect that this updates what's in the biological opinion through the regionally coordinated fish passage O&M
process. Reference the biop.
Is that okay, or is the TMT the right place to say that?
No, they already know that we're operating at these different levels. This is not new. This is what the turbines do. You look at the every hour, you get the hourly data, you've gotten the 1% reports. This is what they do. This is just.
But that's not what the plan says. That's all I'm saying. And the plan is pretty specific.
But
since
you've adopted the FOB as the
guiding principle. Then let's just define that.
Okay.
So add more language on biop.
Yeah,
clarify what's stated in the
discrepancy
biop.
Between the there's biop and what this says okay. needs to be defined.
What's stated in the biop is inaccurate.
Right.
This is a correction.
Yeah, it's inaccurate. Right. This is a correction. We lied. You're telling us we lied. We did lie. Sorry.
In the footnote, you say the theoretical tables and the actual tables are slightly different. Where are the actual tables? Where are the theoretical tables?
So in the project
you've got one
the
here.
Passage.
Then so you need to clarify
okay.
that.
Okay.
All right.
Now let me.
Because we index test to all those units.
Right.
We know where they operate. I mean, there shouldn't be any theoretical hill diagrams out there. I mean, those were all a bunch of bullshit when you got them from the manufacturer anyway.
That's true.
You guys never checked. Never. It made power and head. And that's all it was ever done. It was never verified until the 1990s when we all came in and we did the rating curves. We redid all those. Okay? So there shouldn't be, you know, no matter what the nameplate says on there, all of that should be the actual stuff that came from HDC.
Yeah, HDC did this.
And HDC did it. And that's what all our tables in... Unless you're working on some theoretical stuff out there, and it shouldn't be. I mean, even to the point where they cavitate. I think HDC ran them through that.
Yeah.
Okay? So there shouldn't be any theoretical stuff in any of this stuff. This is the car that you bought, and you know the actual gas mileage on it now. You know, when you run it here in third gear for this long, this is what you get, not... what Voith told you and not what American Hydro said.
That's why the tables say when the test was done and when we
change
the table.
Yeah.
But over time, they don't stay at that same setting has been the problem.
They don't stay at that same setting, but they're certainly not the manufacturer's rating curves you got back in 68 or 58 or whatnot. And they do cavitate and they do change over years. And every time you take one of those units down and you re-weld new cavitation on there, it changes the efficiency, but not... that much.
And these aren't that much different, but they're not the 11.2, which the attorney started looking at going, you're not at 0.2, you're at 0.3. Well, it doesn't run there.
I'm just saying, we're not talking about manufacturer specs, you're nowhere near
that. So the point is the biop has tables that were accurate and tested back in the mid-90s.
Which is the best we know.
There were some other ones. Mm-hmm.
And then these were...
the next test more?
There's each top of them says when it was done.
Right.
Because we were starting to confuse what table to use.
We have them. I didn't get that. Don't we have those things right now in the fish passage plan?
No, we do. Mm-hmm. But they say when it was done. So because we were starting to change it, but not
and
what the right
table. And those have been updated. I know.
Over years.
There's been several tables over the years.
Yeah. It was a whole program.
That were tested by HDC.
6 or 7 years. HDC.
So what's the... What's our resolution here?
Can I just clarify, though? I'm hearing there's a lot of disagreement on this. The intent of this whole change form was late summer. Oftentimes we get into these discussions about, well, what's MinGen? So the intent of this is to help facilitate that. So to the extent that we can achieve that, let's do it. If we can't agree that what we need to do and go back and change all the sections, then that's one thing. But I guess this was an effort to go out and say this is what actually gets done at the projects and to use it as a tool, but it sounds like
anything in the fish passage plan now that's different from this. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me that you, I'm sorry, maybe that's what Ed was saying.
Yeah.
I mean, what's whatever's in the back of the plan.
If you're lifting it from the Fish Passage plan, if you're lifting it from the memos that HDC put out on whatever, then I agree. I mean, if that's where you should be. Now, if something's wandered or something's changed, as I recall, I think it was the Dalles Dam had, I think one of the settings on the wicket gates was kind of wandering around out there because of wear over the stuff. And it took them a while to get that, you know, but they should have re-index tested all those. I mean, so if you're lifting, if this is just a summary of what HDC put together,
right. What's already
I'm
in
good
the plan.
With it. But if you're going back to some manufacturer's hill diagram and that's what you're pulling off their data from, then you're wrong.
Or if this is different from what, I mean, if they're both more recent, but one's different from the other in the plan. In other words, this should reflect what's already in the plan.
Okay. And it does. The problem we are having is that when we went to different family units, units 4 through 6, we're not at 11 pre. When you went to a welded
blade unit. Well, they better be within the plan for Bryce Harbor.
But it's not at the, they can't go down to the minimum. There's those two size units. It doesn't have the same minimum. We never took that into account when we made the first cut at what our minimum was. It was a single point number.
Does the plan have it by that way or not?
The plan just has a minimum generation.
It doesn't
have
it's
just
the,
a fixed point. It needed to be a range. This is the range they operate in.
It mostly would have.
Well, it does too. It says units 1 through 3.
Yeah.
And
when you go to all the things we consulted on, they used a single fixed number for each dam. They didn't go into
what's
the specifics.
In the back of it, okay, then you need to change what's in the plan for each dam.
No, you need to change what's in the buy-up. The buy-up's the place where it was wrong.
We're past that. This is good.
Right, so then you have to update it and through the Fish Passage plan.
What I just heard was different. Yeah, whatever's in the Fish Passage plan for per dam for the unit operating limits has to reflect what's in that table.
Right.
If they're different. I'm hearing that. And those need to be based on the index testing. And if that's done, then we're good in the plan. Then all we need to do is reconcile what the that ancient opinion says.
Well, I mean, what's mainly that came up was is it low mo?
2008.
And that's this is where it happened was low mo when we lost the ability to have that as a cap unit of fixed blade.
Right.
Our unit of priority
that's true,
was no longer the minimum generation unit, so we had to go to unit 2.
Sure.
And that's where the hiccup became. And then, like last year, we couldn't use 11 unit 2 because unit 2 was out of service. So we had to go to unit 3.
But they're all still the same family.
They're still the
same. 1 through 6 are, but not 1 through 3. They're two different ones. 1 through 3
should be the same unless it's welded. Then it changes. I know that. But they're all the same family, and then it's 4 through 6. And that's the way it is up on the snake. So there's things here that aren't making sense.
Okay.
I think I received those tables for LOMO in the past 2 years, and they are in the Fish Passage plan. Those numbers. Now, I would love to see if they cross them out. About 4 years ago, I received the numbers for ICE and put them in the Fish Passage plan.
Mm-hmm. Right? Speaking of families, Bill's going home.
So, those are in the Fish Passage plan.
That's right, because unit 2.
All I'm saying is that these numbers that are in this new table need to reflect what's in those tables.
So all the tables need to get cross-referenced to make sure they're the same.
The tables and the
updated and with change
good,
forms.
They're the same ones that came from the index test,
then
right?
That's good.
And so these change forms got to come in, and we'll have it done by, we'll go over them at the Fish Passage review meeting, and then...
As time allows, because I think the concern was updating the HDC tables might be more involved process.
Every
5 years. Well, as far as I know, HDC is pretty much
done.
What's in the plan of how
you weld one?
Right. I mean, you don't want to have the wrong information.
Right. And it's correct. What's in the plan dam by dam is correct.
Right.
It's the latest. This needs to reflect that.
The latest.
And then there needs to be... A little blurb in there that says that the numbers within in the biop, the 2008 biop, are
wrong.
Updated.
Updated or more current or whatever it is.
Have been updated and here they are.
Want to borrow my shirt?
And that everybody. That is a nice shirt.
It's got a nice number on it.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I thought we'd get through more than this.
Excellent. Hold on.
But we haven't, and I'd like to
Cool.
Just kind of end it here so you guys can go get a bite.
Yeah, because we could just get crankier. Maybe that's good for the AFF.
Upcoming meetings, tomorrow there's a fitter right here in Portland, but there's the task group right after this, and then get your comments, change forms in by the 20th of December.
So there's two meetings after this, right? We're still talking direct capture after, there's a direct capture discussion that's going to occur after the AFF.
Oh, I'm not aware of that.
Walla Walla, guys?
What do you direct capture?
Yeah, I thought there was a 90% direct capture at 2 o'clock. There's a call, and they wanted us to tie in with that as soon as...
I don't know about that one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who set that up?
Yeah.
Bob Johnson. And
well, that's Bob Johnson from planning.
Yeah, it's planning.
Can we just cut the funding and be done with that one?
So let's put it towards the Dalles.
Well, you guys can talk about that at SCT.
Yeah, that's SCT, but there is another meeting. If you're talking meetings, there is one of them.
So you're going to try to do a direct capture today?
Well,
direct capture for POM.
That kind of wraps it for FPOM for the year.
Hey. Wow, and it kind of went out just like we kind of
did before. I hate to end it on this note. Can I end it on a better note?
No, I think it's over. It's FPOM.
You know, I appreciate everybody.
Shortbread?
Yeah, we might have to.
Turn out the lights. The party's over.
Their input.
Goodbye, Don.
Yes.
The end of the year.
Those of you who are traveling, have a safe holiday season.
Thanks, Mike.
We'll be back here again, same time, same place, same people.
Try not to.
12:30. We'll see you next
year. Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. I was coming up.